All the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monte Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monte Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The UN Observer Post was definitely in a hot spot near the Lebanese border. Too hot.
There has been an Israeli airstrike in southern Lebanon, in the area of Qiyam, near the eastern end of the border.
UN spokesman Farhan Haq. 4 UN peacekeepers died. Meanwhile...
I'm Robert Berger in Haifa, where dozens of people are crowding into a stairwell in an apartment building after yet another warning siren. The sirens have been going off all day here. People have been gathering at the scene of the rocket attacks, like one right outside here that landed. And then when the sirens go off, everyone runs again for cover.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice wrapped up her first round of meetings in the Middle East and is in Rome for the next top-level talks. U.S. troops killed an al-Qaeda leader in Iraq today and captured 3 of his followers, too. It happened near Beji in the north. The 17-year-old boy, Zachariah Blanton, faces charges in the weekend sniper shootings on Interstate 65 and 69 in Indiana. State Police Superintendent Paul Weitzel.
There was a consent to search executed of the residence wherein was found a rifle of the same type and caliber that we were looking for in the investigation.
4 vehicles were shot, 1 man killed, another person was wounded. The Justice Department fights back in court to protect the NSA's terror surveillance program. CBS's Stephanie Lambidakis of the Justice Department.
The Justice Department filed this lawsuit after 2 Missouri officials issued subpoenas to phone companies to see if Missouri residents have had their communications intercepted by the NSA program. The lawsuit claims the federal government has the exclusive control over intelligence gathering, and that any disclosure by the phone companies would harm national security.
More than 3 dozen people have died in California's heat wave.
At this power grid control center near Los Angeles, there's an ongoing evaluation of the state's expected power needs, along with expected resources, and they put out a warning of the need to conserve energy as much as possible. The biggest problem, the continuing heat wave.
We're looking at a peak load that was similar to yesterday, same kind of temperatures. Conservation is the key word.
Grid operations manager Tracy Bibb says the next step could be selected outages at businesses on the voluntary shutdown list. After that, the only alternative could be rolling blackouts in residential areas. Ron Kilgore, CBS News, Alhambra, California.
Some old folks are just tough as pine knots. 82-year-old Robert Flynn in Greensboro, North Carolina, faced a mugger who was armed with a shotgun. Flynn beat him silly with his walking cane instead, sent him limping back to his getaway car. On Wall Street, the Dow is up almost 53 points today. The Nasdaq gained a dozen. Oil prices, $73.75 a barrel, down $1.30. This is CBS News.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place. Chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way. The answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com. Your complete chemotherapy guide.
CompUSA email bag.
Lisa emails, Dear CompUSA, I need a great camera, but I'm a student, so I also need a great deal. Okay, Lisa, how about $120 off a 5-megapixel Kodak EasyShare digital camera? That's right, $120 off. That puts it under $130 after savings and rebate, our lowest price ever. That and hundreds more back-to-school deals are good through Saturday at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. See store for details.
They were called the Xbox murders, and the verdicts are in.
The verdicts started with the accused ringleader.
State of Florida,
versus Troy Victorino.
He and two others guilty of 29 charges from first-degree murder to conspiracy and abuse of a dead body. Prosecutors say the men beat six people to death with baseball bats after they went to retrieve some belongings, including an Xbox game. It happened after one of the victims discovered them living in a family home and evicted them. The jury will decide whether they live or die starting Thursday. A fourth man pled guilty but has since changed his mind. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Getting caught with one hand in the cookie jar is one thing. Finding a hand in a jar, quite another. Police say they found a hand in a jar, literally, in South Plainfield, New Jersey, at the home of a nude dancer who does a pagan, occult, goth kind of performance. Linda Kay is the woman's name. She also had half a dozen human skulls at her apartment. Thus far, refuses to tell the police just where she got them. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
CompUSA email bag.
Steve emails, Dear CompUSA, got any killer back-to-school deals?
Steve,
we've got hundreds of killer deals, including $300 off a Toshiba laptop with Intel Core Duo processor and Microsoft Media Center Edition. $300 off! That puts it under $700 after savings and rebate. Our lowest price ever. This and other great deals are good through Saturday at CompUSA's back-to-school sale. We got it? We get it. See store for details.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. It's another sizzling hot day on the coast of California, and our electricity generating system is straining at capacity. I haven't been blacked out yet, but who knows what's around the bend. On the Peter B. Collins Show today, with our new toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. I hope you'll make a note of that. We've got Dan Weintraub from the Sacramento Bee joining us in just a moment. We'll talk about Governor Schwarzenegger's improved poll numbers. Also on the show today, Jeffrey Feldman, the proprietor of the website frameshopisopen.com. He warns us that the language being used about the conflict in the Middle East right now is strikingly similar to what we heard before we entered Iraq. He'll make that point and a few others when he joins us in about a half an hour. We'll have our daily update from Chris Tonsing of the Middle East Report about an hour from now. Room for your phone calls in the next hour as well. Then Jason Leopold, the guy who covered the energy crisis here in California just a few years back for the Dow Jones News Service. He'll be joining us to talk about the history of energy and blackouts and whether we've actually addressed the need to generate additional power as California continues to grow. Melanie Sloan checks in at the top of our third hour. She, of course, from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Tom DeLay's arm pack has been shut down under duress. We'll talk about that. Duke Cunningham, we now know, was dipping into some of the black budgets and earmarking it for his corrupt cronies. We'll get details on that. And a little history of Bill Frist and his allegedly blind trust as the family is selling their little medical stand for over $30 billion. It's called HCA. And we'll talk about that, Hospital Corporation of America. Our listeners in Eureka will get a baseball game at 10 after 5 this afternoon. The Crabs will be playing, and you'll hear it live on KGOE. And in our 5 o'clock hour, we'll also be talking with Dr. Stephen Ducat. He's written a book about the psychological profile of the current president of the United States, and it's called The Wimp Factor. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com, and you can call us on our new toll-free number. It's 1-888-5-PETER-B. You like the digits better? 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. Hope you've got that. Dan Weintraub is a political reporter and columnist and blogger-in-chief at the Sacramento Bee, and he joins us from sizzling Sacramento this afternoon. How you doing, Dan?
Trying to stay cool.
Yeah.
Within the limits of the governor's edict. So I think we've got the temp up to 78 degrees in here, which is just fine.
Well, our air conditioning is straining here at the Peter B. Collins suite. and it's set at 64, but is performing at 78. So, however,
maybe the governor has a new gizmo where he can reach in there and turn it up for you.
Oh, that sounds very Big Brother-ish. Actually, we have a power supply here that will last for 4 minutes with all our equipment if the power goes off. So, I hope we don't have to test it
today.
That'll
get you through a glitch, anyway.
Yeah. So, you think under this hot weather and the recently published poll numbers that Phil Angelides is using a little extra deodorant these days?
He's sweating a little bit. The poll numbers either suggest that Schwarzenegger has this thing under control or Phil Angelides has a lot of potential for growth, depending on how you look at it.
But we're several months away here, yeah. And it's amazing but not surprising to me to see how far back Arnold Schwarzenegger has come since his bottom point of last November.
Yeah, well, here's what's happened. Republicans have fallen completely into line behind Schwarzenegger, despite the attempts of some of the more conservative elements of his party to distance themselves from him. Something like 85% of Republicans already say they're supporting Schwarzenegger, so there's just a few stragglers waiting to be rounded up. Democrats, meanwhile, are still divided from their very bitter primary with Wesley versus Angelides, and I think a lot of the Wesley voters are still sort of sitting on their hands, and they have not been persuaded that Angelides is their man. So he's only got 63% of the Democratic vote, and that's the root of Angelides' problem. Most people would expect him to eventually secure most of those Democratic votes, in which case, this would return to a neck-and-neck race
down
to the independents.
Wouldn't it be fair to say that this current snapshot reflects the roughly $10 million that Schwarzenegger's campaign spent to extend the message of Steve Westley, the message that Phil Angelides wants to raise your taxes by $10 billion?
Pretty much, but the result is almost identical to the hypothetical matchup that was floated in May by the field poll before the primary, at which point the result was, I think it was 46-39 then, and now it's 45-37, so pretty much the same result. So you could say Schwarzenegger managed to prevent Angelides from getting any post-primary bounce, as normally winning a primary would catapult you, if not into the lead, at least into a better position than you were before. But Angelides finds himself in the same or worse position than he was before the primary.
Mm-hmm. Dan Weintraub with us from the Sacramento Bee. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call. He's with us till the bottom of the hour. 888-5-PETER-B is the toll-free number. That's 1-888-573-8372. Now, in pure popularity, Schwarzenegger is back up to a 51% favorable rating and a 44% negative. That's state voters without respect to party. Angelides at 41-38. So he suffers not only from being less well-known. Schwarzenegger has, what, a 99.4% visibility?
I think so. But Angelides has improved his favorability rating since the primary, which is interesting given, as you mentioned, Schwarzenegger's $10 to $12 billion onslaught of negative ads.
It was just million, not billion.
Million. Thinking of the budget. now, that would be quite an ad campaign in the billions.
Yes, it would.
Yeah, we'd figure that.
We'd have some special effects.
Angelides was the first non-incumbent in modern political history in California to emerge from the primary with a negative favorability rating among all voters, but he has turned that around, and he now has a plurality of narrow popularity on his image rating. So that's
and
the first step towards securing people's votes, is to get them to think that you're an okay guy.
Dan, do you think he earned that? Because I felt that the mud that he slung was a much lighter weight than he did against David Roberti in the low point of Phil Angelides' elective political career.
His negative rating?
No, what I'm saying is that the mud that he slung against Wesley was mild in comparison to the scurrilous attacks that he and his campaign
made. I don't think that's why he had a negative rating, though.
No?
I think he had a negative rating because of the mud that Wesley slung at him.
Ah, okay.
And because he has so stridently defined himself as the anti-Arnold that all or most Republicans had a negative impression of him. Normally, Republicans don't pay too much attention to a Democratic primary, and they'll, not knowing the opponent, they'll say, yeah, he's an okay guy. But Angelides begged Republicans, you know, to dislike him for 3 years, and they've complied. So I think that's why he had a negative rating, not so much because he was seen as a mudslinger himself.
I see. Okay, that's interesting. Now, where do independents stand these days? A lot of them deserted Arnold Schwarzenegger during the contentious attack on labor unions and other so-called special interest groups last year.
Right. They have largely come home. Depending on the poll you're looking at, he either is far ahead among independents, or in this most recent field poll, tied 36-35 among independents, which for Schwarzenegger is still good news. The independents helped elect him during the recall in 2003. As you say, they deserted him in large numbers last year. They have definitely begun to come home, and if he is able to hold on to at least 50-50 or a little bit more, he'll be looking pretty good. And I think it's going to be tough for Angelides to win those people back. I think Schwarzenegger could push them away again if he does something stupid or an outside shock to the system. You've been talking a lot about the power situation today. Mm-hmm. Something like that, or a natural disaster that Schwarzenegger mishandled, could cause independents to abandon him one more and probably one last time. But I don't think Angelides can really sweet talk those people back into his camp or persuade them that they've got a wrong idea about the governor. They're probably going to stay there unless there's some major shock to the dynamic of this race.
Mm-hmm. And we've talked about my low opinion of Bob Mulholland already in a previous encounter, but I can imagine him advising Phil Angelides, we have no choice. We've got to drive up the negatives of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, well, they've already been there. It's hard, I don't know, it's hard to see the voters swinging back there again, absent Schwarzenegger doing anything really stupid. I mean, he's, you know, he's got his infrastructure plan on the ballot. Voters seem to like that. He's got a budget that was done on time. Now he's working on global warming and minimum wage and prescription drugs. If those things don't hurt him among Republicans, they're certainly not going to hurt him among Democrats or independents.
Mm-hmm.
And so Angelides, all he can do is sort of talk about all the bad things Schwarzenegger has done in the past, but the voters seem to be already kind of moving on from that and not holding it against Schwarzenegger as much as the Democrats would like them to.
We're talking with Dan Weintraub from the Sacramento Bee. If you have a question or comment about the governor's race or any other statewide political issue, get on the line now. The new number is toll-free, 1-888-5-PETER-B. That's simple, isn't it? 1-888-5-PETER-B. We'll continue in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the news, KRXA 540. For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Kia Sedona, a 7-passenger minivan with 3 rows of seats. With a low price and generous warranties, Kia is getting more competitive with Japanese and American car makers. The Sedona has a 3.8-liter fuel-injected 6-cylinder engine and a 5-speed automatic with average power and acceleration. It passed our grueling hill climb test with no problem. It's roomy inside, and the third seat folds flat for cargo, but wouldn't be comfortable for an all-day trip. My demo has AC and power locks, but it's not loaded with accessories or leather. By the numbers, the 2006 Kia Sedona minivan gets 18 mpg in the city, 25 miles to the gallon on the highway, and stickers in California for about $24,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet Louis Basil of Jamestown Real Estate. And joining Louis will be Ronnie Bramer of New Horizon Real Estate Group of St. Petersburg, Florida. Ronnie and Louis will be sharing some great hot spots to invest in Florida and Louisville, Kentucky. That's this week on Rock Roller Real Estate. Heard every Sunday morning at 10. Listen online at rockrollerrealestate.com. For more information on this show and to be a guest, call 408-892-3376. 408-892-3376.
I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with its hot vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium. Or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. As we continue with Dan Weintraub from the Sacramento Bee, he's the guy who blogs at the Political Insider, the California Insider, it's called. If you go to sacb.com, click on politics, you'll find the link to his daily blog, the California Insider. And, Dan, just a couple more things about Schwarzenegger and Angelides. One of the things you point out on your blog today is that the Democratic candidate has been kind of hyping some of the power outages that have occurred on a spot basis around the state during this heat wave and trying to turn it into a crisis of the kind that Gray Davis got burned by.
Right. He's chomping at the bit for a blackout. If there are true rolling blackouts where the state has to shut down people who had not contracted in advance, for instance, to reduce their usage for in exchange for cheaper rates, or because a transformer overheats somewhere, which I guess has happened in L.A. over the last couple of days, but true rolling blackouts because of a shortage of electricity, Schwarzenegger will have to take responsibility for that. He's been in office for almost 3 years. He once famously said, the lights will not go on, will not go off as long as I'm governor. So he's accountable and will be held accountable for that. But I think it's a little silly when there's 112-degree temperatures and some transformer in the San Fernando Valley goes on the blink for the Democratic candidate to be running around, yelling blackout. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing has happened for as long as there's been an electricity system in California, and it will always happen no matter how much electricity we have in reserve. So let's just keep the powder dry and wait until we have an actual rolling blackout, and then, by all means, hammer the governor all you want.
How about this charge?
He will be responsible.
How about this charge from Angelides? No governor in recent California history has cared less about health care or done less to expand and improve it than Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's after Schwarzenegger's health care summit yesterday.
No governor in recent history. That's maybe a little more on the mark, because I know that Pete Wilson and Gray Davis both took a lot of steps to expand health care, and Schwarzenegger, living with his budget deficit, has not done much there. I don't know if you want to go back to George Dukmajian and look at those numbers, but I think that's a pretty fair hit from Angelita.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go to the calls. Dave's on the line from Humboldt. How hot is it in Humboldt today, Dave?
Been very tolerable. We haven't had any real heat wave at all up here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You lucky guys.
One thing that I would very much like to suggest at the risk of, again, sounding a little far out, is that a poll be conducted strictly with paper and pencil and at no point feed it into a computer. One thing I've learned very directly, very firsthand, is that these computers can be invaded, and our Patriot Act is being used in so many creative different ways. I'd give you about one example of it. If you'd recall, we had a very excellent Democratic convention last time, some really great speakers, a lot of humor, a lot of upbeat. And would you believe it came out with a negative bounce? And I have no question but that that was affected by people that go into the computers and rearrange the results. That was... That could not have produced a negative result. Me, objectively looking at it, I think, I don't feel it could happen. So I'm saying that if they want Schwarzenegger to look good and Angelita to look bad, they have but to go into your computer and make it that way. And so I don't know if you'd consider what I'm suggesting, but one...
Yeah, I'm not there, Dave, because the polls are conducted, I believe, by reputable independent groups. I know Mark DiCamillo from the Field Poll, and I don't think that he's operating in that way. They don't have to. So I believe the polls are relatively accurate. Now, if you want to talk about voting machines and, you know, election integrity, that's an issue that I think has a lot of concerns and deserves a lot of attention. But personally, I think the polls are skewed more by the way the questions are asked and just the random selection of who's willing to talk to the operator who calls than any nefarious scheme to manipulate them. Dan?
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Well, I probably expressed myself wrongly. I have every confidence that the people at the Sacramento Bee and Zogby and whatever are doing the very best to get an accurate and honest poll. I am saying that the computer that they do put it on to tabulate the results can be entered and results can be changed, and I believe that does happen.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dave. Thanks for your call today. Good to talk to you. Dan, one other item that's up on your blog right now is the governor was planning to go to Mexico on a trade mission. He's bragged about how great a salesman he is for California, but he's decided, given the uncertainty of the outcome of the presidential election, that he's going to delay that.
Yeah, it looks like they're not going to have a result there until around Labor Day, at which point the governor would be in the middle of his bill signing period, which is most of the month of September. He probably does not want to leave the state in the hands of Lieutenant Governor Bustamante for an extended period during his reelection campaign, since Bustamante would be able to sign and veto all the bills sent to the governor's desk at the end of the legislative session. So that pretty much cancels out September, and then by October, of course, you're in the middle of the final weeks of the campaign. So he's not going to go until November at the earliest, he said.
Any sightings of Cruz Bustamante recently?
I have not seen him recently. Last I heard, he was getting more and more difficult to see because he was losing all kinds of weight on his new diet.
That was his big campaign theme in the primary for insurance commissioner, and I don't quite get it. That's all he wanted to talk about. We had him on the show, and I finally got him to say, hey, are you going to take any money from the industry? He said, no more than 5%. And 2 days later, it was published.
No more than 5% of the industry's money?
He meant no more than 5% of his total campaign funds, and the next day was the end of a reporting period, and it came in at 21%.
Well, Steve Lopez at the LA Times, I think, did a column suggesting that Bustamante was fibbing about how much weight he had lost as well. So yeah, that's very consistent.
Yeah. And I guess he ran the beta, he participated in the beta breakers.
Yeah.
I was not a witness to actually how he performed.
I didn't see that either.
Yeah.
Maybe wearing a toga or...
Dan, thanks for joining us. It's always a pleasure.
Anytime.
Dan Weintraub, Sacramento Bee. Read the California Insider political blog for yourself. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Jeffrey Feldman about framing and rhetoric in the Middle East dispute right now. He's the operator of FrameShopIsOpen.com. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Ouch! I'm tired of all these old TVs and computers trashing our garage. Can't we get rid of them once and for all?
I'd love to, honey, but it costs so much to get rid of them.
This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you can dispose of your electronic waste, TVs, monitors, old computers, and more, and it won't cost you a dime. Bring them to the Monterey Fairgrounds, and the garage will be yours again. The Electronic Waste Disposal event is happening this Friday through Sunday, July 28th, 29th, and 30th at the Monterey Fairgrounds in Monterey. Go to noewaste.com for more information. That's noewaste.com.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in Monterey.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. I'm glad you're listening. Whether you're on KGOE 1480 in Eureka, KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz,
or listening in the nighttime on KSAC, Talk City 1240 in Sacramento, or KPHX 1480 in Phoenix, Arizona. However you listen, whenever you listen, I'm glad you're there. And you can always send me feedback by email. Send it to Peter at peterbcollins.com. And it's not too late to get in on our first anniversary giveaway. That case of fine Central Coast wine from select vintners in Monterey and Santa Cruz Mountain areas, courtesy of our friends at Monterey Bay Wine Company. If you want to enter, just drop me an email, peter at peterbcollins.com, and include your name, address, a daytime phone, indicate that you're at least 21 years of age so the cops don't come after me, and tell me your most memorable moment of the Peter B. Collins Show over the past year. One entry per person, please. And if you don't have email, you can put it in the Postal Service and send it to me on Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. We'll hold the drawing and announce the winner on August 1st. And joining me now is the proprietor of the website Frame Shop Is Open. Yes, language matters, and people do judge you by the words you use. Jeffrey Feldman, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hi, Peter.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
You're in New York. How sizzling is it? And has your power been on the full time, or have you lost it a little bit?
We have power. I'm lucky I live in Manhattan, and the power outages have been in certain parts of Queens.
Right.
But thankfully, we've had a little bit of a break from the heat. We're fluctuating between scorching heat and floods, and now we're just at an even keel, about 80 degrees. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I was really struck by the lead item on your blog right now, and I want to direct people to frameshopisopen.com so they can read it in detail for themselves. But you make the case, and I think in a persuasive way, that we're hearing some of the same framing and some of the same language, word choices, that were employed to manipulate public opinion into supporting Bush's misguided entry into Iraq.
Yeah, one of the things that I've been watching over the past few days are the types of words that are coming out of Condoleezza Rice's communications as she headed out into the Middle East on this very delayed shuttle diplomacy mission in which she's attempting to broker something between Israel and Hezbollah in order to bring peace to Lebanon. At least that's the theory of it.
Well, but not just any peace, right? We want a sustainable peace.
A sustainable peace, that's right. I mean, she was very outspoken in saying that she was not ready to implement a ceasefire, not ready to go to the table, as the Bush administration often says, until they know for certain that the outcome that they want can be arrived at, a very peculiar approach to negotiating. But what I picked up on in some of the communications today, in particular, a Washington Post report by Robin Wright and Scott Wilson, was the way that Condoleezza Rice was talking, as if it seemed she was laying the ground for saying that an occupation of Lebanon was going to be necessary. And in fact, they're talking about an international force. And using this language again about training the military, the same way they talked about training the soldiers in Iraq, about being there to give time for a fledgling democracy to emerge in Lebanon. They're talking about democracy in Lebanon as if it's a baby, as if it's a very small child that needs to be nurtured with the help of a force there. And the logic is, of course, that NATO will step in and take over this role, that an international coalition will step in and take over its role. But it seems very suspicious to me, because this is the exact same language, the same logic that they use in order to make the case for an international coalition in Iraq. And, of course, what we have there now is an American occupation.
Well, are they going to trot out that word coalition again?
Well, they're using this phrase, an international force.
Right.
There's a tradition, that, as far as I understand it, Middle Eastern diplomacy and talk of peace in that region, to use this phrase, peacekeeping force, which in many times used to be referred to the United Nations. But they're trying to pull something together that would step in on the ground and form a buffer zone in between Israel and South Lebanon. But I'm very cautious. And the purpose behind the piece was not so much to call an alarm and say that there's going to be a U.S. occupation of Lebanon that will start soon, but just to draw people's attention to the way that the Bush administration pulls out the exact same frames each time they seem to be setting up for a military operation that they suspect the American public will not back. And so what they're doing by using this talk of the need to have a military force on the ground in order to help Lebanon, they're making the case that without some type of force there, the region will descend into chaos. That's the same logic that they're trapped in with regards to Iraq. Of course, the reality is much closer to something that looks like this. The fact that that there's an occupation in a Middle Eastern country by a large Western superpower is leading to violence, is leading to problems, rather than the other way around. So it's a very problematic logic that's beginning to percolate up in what the White House is saying, and I suspect that they're testing this idea first to see where it's going to go, and also to see who amongst all of the allies in Europe and elsewhere that they've alienated is willing to step up and put themselves in between these two very hostile enemies, in between Israel and these and Hezbollah forces in South Lebanon. And I suspect that there are a lot of allies now who want to step up and help out in this. As is the case, Tony Blair is making overtures that indeed Britain is interested in participating in this international peacekeeping force.
Oh, but Bush shot him down in between bites of bread in St. Petersburg. Oh, Blair, I got Condi going, and thanks for that sweater anyway.
Food wasn't falling out of his mouth.
Now, Jeffrey, as I'm listening to you, it appears that you haven't heard the good news from Iraq. And it's somehow you're plugged into that dangerous lefty blogosphere that only brings the bad news from Iraq. But, you know, we have had such a successful occupation there that we want to springboard into a new occupation, and Lebanon offers us the perfect opportunity. I don't know what you're missing there.
I'm clearly missing a lot. Exactly. Why stop at one when you can have two for 10 times the price? I mean,
Well put.
It's remarkable. Just before the other day, I was reading over the White House website, which I have to confess is one of my favorite pastimes to go see what it is they put up.
You have quite a life.
For all of your listeners, the White House is obsessed with publishing everything that they put out there on their website, so everything is available for the public to read. But one of the pages that they have is a page called "Setting the Record Straight," which is a phrase that is incredibly Orwellian, I say that it's the place where George Bush and his administration attempt to turn black into white using spin techniques. But the last piece that they put up there was a hit piece, really, on David Gregory of MSNBC, in which they basically made the case that Iraq is a huge success and the liberal media just can't see it. There's all the success. The Europeans are lining up behind us on all our initiatives, and it goes beyond Iraq. Because of Iraq, we now have a lot of support on our attempt to rein in Iran's nuclear promise. We have a lot of support on monitoring what's going on in North Korea. And if you read this piece, you wonder, well, what is really going on in the world? Because this seems so opposite to what's actually happening on the ground that, who knows, maybe I am just having my head too far into the liberal blogosphere.
Jeffrey, I'm at the WhiteHouse.gov website right now. Where will I find Setting the Record Straight?
Setting the Record Straight it gets cross-posted under Current News.
Current News. All right, I'm clicking there.
On the left there.
Because I'm kind of hoping that this is where they're going to publish Tony Snow's correction, because he said last week that the president believed that using embryonic stem cells in medical research was tantamount to murder. And Tony corrected that. He issued a statement saying that he overhyped that on the president's behalf, and he dialed it back just a little bit. So I'm hoping that that's going to be here. Now, I don't see a Setting the Record Straight button. Federal
it's,
facts.
It's not its own button. It's a heading. If you look down under July 21st,
okay.
If we're looking at the same page.
Oh, there it is, yes. Setting the Record Straight.
Setting the Record Straight, President Bush's foreign policy
is succeeding. Stem cell policy is working. Strong record of addressing climate change. Wow, this is an alternate universe.
Welcome onto the other side of reality. I mean, it really is quite amazing, but there is what I find astounding about that section of the website, and it's been running now, I think it was July of last year, or maybe even a little bit before that they started to run it, that there is an entire team in the White House whose job it is to simply scour the Internet for news reports and line up essentially a spin in order to counter what everybody perceives to be the truth. You know, I say, in the article that I wrote about this, I said, you know, some presidents look at a glass and they say that it's half empty. Some look at a glass and say that it's half full. President Bush looks at a glass and says that it's a shoe. And this is the place where he does it. I mean,
it's a really nice shoe. It's a Bruno Mali.
It's a gorgeous shoe.
It's a loafer that you don't have to wear socks with.
It's comfy, and if you just put it on, you'll understand.
Yeah.
But Tony Snow's stepping back from that murder line will never make it onto this page, because this page is entirely about spinning the facts that are out there.
Well, I'm waiting to see the entry here. Signing statements are good for every American.
Signing statements help us get by.
Yeah.
I know that's really astounding. This news that came out from the American Bar Association published a report saying something to the effect that in the history of the United States there have been 600 signing statements, cumulative, over across all presidents that have been in office. And in the 5 years that President Bush has been in office, he has issued 800 signing statements. And they used very peculiar language in their report. They said that President Bush signs these statements in a ritualistic way. Ritualistic, what an incredibly peculiar word for the American Bar Association to attach to this problem. And not only is it a fundamental violation of his constitutional duties, in which he has the right and responsibility to either sign a bill, to veto it, or to issue something called a pocket veto, but he appears to do these things in this very secretive way, behind closed doors.
Well, I understand. This is pure speculation. I have no proof, but I am as certain of this opinion as, say, Tony Snow is of his, or Sean Hannity. And that is that the reason they don't show the president signing the signing statements is that he has developed the skill of being able to hold a pen and cross both his index and, big fingers on both hands at the same time while he signs them. And that is the critical, what did you call it?
It's a ritual.
A ritual. That's the ritual. He has figured out how to operate a pen and cross both sets of fingers at the same time.
And in the process, usurp the powers of entire branch of government through this process of essentially saying that no matter what the Congress decides, the president is the ultimate, has the final word on what constitutes law and what does not.
Yeah, this is a law for the little people. It doesn't apply to me or anybody I designate. That's the essential message of the signing statements. There was an interesting sequence on the NewsHour on PBS about this last night, and they had a professor, he was from Vanderbilt, and he was just saying, no big deal, it's all just about the mechanics of implementing a law, and the president simply laying down a marker in case there's a constitutional challenge. And what a load of hokum that was.
What a load it is. And all of this is going to make it onto the front pages this week, I believe, because our inspector has issued a statement which, as I understand it, and I was just glancing over his statement before you called, what I understand is that Specter is interested in putting a law on the books that would effectively allow the Congress to sue the president over these signing statements, and that will no doubt generate an incredible amount of discussion over the next news cycle.
And Specter's controversial. He supports stem cell, and maybe he went to a secret clinic to have his backbone reinforced. We'll take a break and return with Jeffrey Feldman. Frame Shop is open is his website. A lot of powerful analysis and information there. Check it out. We'll continue in just a moment. You got a question? Join us. 888-5-PETER-B. That's my new toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Parents. parents. Do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
On Sunday, July 30th at 6:30 p.m., Palestinian Ambassador Afif Safiya will speak at the Monterey Institute of International Studies Irvine Auditorium, 499 Pierce Street. The Institute's Graduate School of International Policy Studies and its Conflict Resolution Club, the Peace Coalition for Monterey County, and Citizens for Middle East Peace, a local interfaith alliance, are sponsoring the free talk to be given by the ambassador from Palestine, followed by a benefit reception. For more information, please call 373-1715.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. I'm your humble host, Peter B. There's room for your call as we continue with Jeffrey Feldman from FrameShopIsOpen.com. 888-5-PETER-B.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces
of the evil that lurks within.
Smiling faces.
Jeffrey Feldman, I want to return to our discussion about the language and framing used by American politicians of both parties, to be fair, to describe this renewed violence in the Middle East. And in a post on July 22nd, you took the step of putting up a yellow caution sign to alert your readers to the framing around the phrase root cause. Talk about that.
Well, the root cause idea is a concept. It's really a metaphor that the Bush administration has been using in order to set in the minds of the American public what needs to be done in this so-called war on terrorism. And it's a way of saying, look, we're not just going into a place like Iraq, Afghanistan, or in the case of Israel, going into Lebanon in order to fight people that are fighting us. They're saying that terrorism has is more like a weed one needs to go in and dig up by the roots in order to completely pull it out so that there's nothing left, a complete eradication. It's a very poignant metaphor. And the reason that I issued a caution for that is because it seemed to me that when the Bush administration started using that phrase "root cause" or to apply it to Lebanon, that was signaling that they were giving the green light to extend this war and occupation of Iraq into a broader Middle Eastern effort, and that I thought it was important for people to be concerned and to be on the lookout for that.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a very significant issue because particularly with this protracted struggle in the Middle East, people choose the point based on their own bias where they begin to talk about history. Some people go all the way back to 1948. Some people even a little further. Some people start with the Six-Day War. Some people will start in the 1990s. Some people start with the attack on the Marine barracks in Lebanon in the Reagan years, 1983 or 84. And so it's a very slippery discussion to have because we don't have the same starting point or, you know, often the same set of basic facts to start with.
Yeah, it's a very, very difficult issue. And what I focus on in the discussions that I've had about what's going on in the past 2 weeks in the Middle East is something that I call the big plan or the list of countries that the Bush administration brought with it into the White House. This is a list that gets generated by the neoconservative thinkers who look at the Middle East and say, what we want to do, irrespective of what's going on the ground, we want to restructure topple governments, you know, that include these five or six countries, and that includes the country of Iraq, obviously, and Iran, and Lebanon, and Syria, and the idea is that irrespective of where we fit as Americans into this discussion about who's right, who's wrong, and what should happen in the Middle East, it's important for us to be aware that the current administration is operating on a plan, and that what they look at is not the history, but an opportunity to implement this plan. And when Lebanon flared up, what was fascinating was to watch the Secretary of State and the President essentially step back, not seem shocked at all, but actually have an air about them that this was something that was quite positive to happen. And it was remarkable how quick, when you listen to, in particular, to Condi Rice talking, mm-hmm. how quick the language of an infant democracy emerged out of the Department of State. No talking about ending the violence, no talk about getting into the air and doing shuttle diplomacy, but they immediately reverted to that plan to implement radical change. And suddenly, in the past 2 days, Condi Rice started using this phrase, a new Middle East. This is what a new Middle East looks like, she talked about. And that's how they imagine things. So, yeah, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, what's really important at this stage for progressives, for Democrats, for Americans in general, is to try not necessarily to get drawn in to that debate in terms of going back to key points in history, but to really pay close attention to what our government sees as a positive step in the Middle East, while the rest of the world sees it as a real disaster.
Jeffrey, those mean old nuns back in grade school pounded into me that actions speak louder than words. But we see the words really winning out in too many cases, and this is a good example. Condoleezza Rice went to the Middle East, and this was hot on the heels of the announcement that we're going to immediately resupply the Israelis with laser-guided bombs and bunker buster bombs because they've run through their inventory. And that is a clear indication that we're not going to do anything to interrupt Israel's incursions, at least not in the near term. And then she offered $300 million in relief to the government of Lebanon, which is a drop in the bucket. I mean, the carnage that has been caused, the displacement of over 750,000 people, this is a huge setback for Lebanon, and those actions speak volumes, okay? I mean, we're offering nickels to Lebanon and weapons to Israel. And that on the Arab street is not going to be played based on the rhetoric and the framing. It's going to be the actions that people regard and make judgments on.
Absolutely. I mean, for anybody who was interested in seeing, you know, the violence in that region calm down as quickly as possible and getting to the point where people are talking to themselves again rather than perched behind howitzers or sitting in bunkers with Katyusha rockets, the whole way that the Bush administration went at this act of diplomacy, I don't know how anybody can interpret it as anything other than contributing to a deepening and worsening of the situation. And exactly for the reasons that you said. I mean, I was looking at the photographs that accompanied the articles with Condoleezza Rice today, and they were incredibly uncomfortable photographs. The leadership of Lebanon, the leadership of the Palestinian Authority, these were clearly very difficult moments for those people. And one really wonders the extent to which the government in Israel, the Olmert government, understands and appreciates what's going on. I realize that they have their own agenda. They have their own set of goals that they want to accomplish and ways that they conceive of defending themselves and establishing security. But the imbalance that's being created there, as I understand it, the government of Israel had what Josh Bolton described as an open account for these types of weapons that were resupplied to them.
Yeah, they're using FEMA credit cards.
FEMA credit cards, exactly. But the images of Beirut being destroyed yet again. I remember those pictures when Beirut was destroyed when I was a small child.
Sure.
It really was. It's devastating to see that historic and amazing city destroyed again. But for me personally, it's equally as devastating to see the terrible pictures in the north of Israel and to see how even small children in Israel have been, in a sense, rallied behind this military effort in a way that really is unfortunate.
Jeffrey Feldman, the Frame Shop is open. Jeffrey will be visiting with my friend Tom Hartman on his program tomorrow. Thanks for joining us, Jeffrey.
Thanks, Peter.
Coming up next, we're going to get our update on the Middle East developments from Chris Tonsing of the Middle East Report.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A UN post takes a direct hit in the continuing Mideast violence.
It appears that it was a deliberate targeting by the Israeli Defense Forces.
And tackling the violence in another Mideast hotspot.
He and General Casey have agreed to deploy additional American troops and Iraqi security personnel in Baghdad in the coming weeks.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammie McCormick. Casualties in today's Mideast violence, 4 UN workers killed when their outpost was hit by Israeli warplanes. CBS News reporter Vicky Barker is in Beirut with the latest.
An aerial bomb, apparently from the Israeli side, directly hit this building and shelter of an Indian patrol base from the UNIFIL Observer Force. This is in the town of Qiyam, which is near the eastern end of the border with Israel. This was not an isolated incident. The UN has said that there were 14 other incidents of firing close to this position from the Israeli side on Tuesday afternoon. And they say that the firing continued even as rescuers were trying to reach this ruined building.
UN Secretary General Kofi Annan wants an investigation. He says Israel appears to have struck the building deliberately. In northern Israel, the Hezbollah rockets rained down again today.
I'm Robert Berger in Haifa, where an 8-story apartment building has taken a direct hit by a rocket. I can see a big hole that was blown in the lower part of the building. That's the sound of police ordering onlookers to step away. All the windows were blown out in this building, the shutters, and the ground here is full of broken glass.
The U.S. is concerned about an unknown number of Americans stranded in South Lebanon. They need transportation to evacuation points, State Department spokesman Tom Casey.
The situation is very difficult. We have, as you know, run some bus convoys and used some other means available to help them get out.
As many as 15,000 Americans have been evacuated. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice traveled to Rome for a meeting on the Mideast. Here's CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv.
In her talks here in Israel and in the Palestinian West Bank, no perceptible change. Rice said she wants
an urgent but enduring ceasefire,
which is different from a ceasefire now, but that's what Arab delegations at a conference on Lebanon are to demand, putting pressure on Rice in Rome, Italy tomorrow. She will try to get the foreign ministers, also from Canada, Russia, Germany, Italy, France, Turkey, and other countries, to focus on setting up a peacekeeping force for southern Lebanon. When that's been agreed, with Lebanon agreeing to get Hezbollah away from the border with Israel, then Rice will work toward a ceasefire. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
Now this. Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Net Zero, America's number one value-priced internet service, is only $9.95 a month, and there's no commitment and no credit card required. Signing up for Net Zero is so simple, you'll be online in minutes. Plus, Net Zero gives you powerful virus protection, and your service is backed by a connection guarantee. Join the millions of people who have switched to the internet service that ranks higher than AOL in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or go to netzero.com.
President Bush met at the White House today with Iraq's prime minister, and security in Baghdad was at the top of their agenda. Here's CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
More U.S. troops will move to the chaotic Iraqi capital from other parts of the country.
Obviously, the violence in Baghdad is still terrible.
The major strategy change confirms the security plan President Bush praised when he visited Iraq 5 weeks ago has failed.
Our military commanders tell me that this deployment will better reflect the current conditions on the ground in Iraq.
The move is aimed at curtailing sectarian violence that could fuel a worst-case scenario acknowledged by the Iraqi leader.
God willing, there will be no civil war in Iraq.
Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
A heat wave in California may have claimed more than 30 lives. Officials today issued the third Stage 1 power emergency since Saturday.
We are very closely watching this heat wave. This has been a heat wave unlike any other we can remember.
Tracy Bibb with the Independent System Operator. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
CompUSA email bag.
Lisa emails, Dear CompUSA, I need a great camera, but I'm a student, so I also need a great deal. Okay, Lisa, how about $120 off a 5-megapixel Kodak EasyShare digital camera? That's right, $120 off. That puts it under $130 after savings and rebate, our lowest price ever. That and hundreds more back-to-school deals are good through Saturday at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. See store for details.
Yeah, my truck doesn't have coverage, but if my boat hit it, will my boat policy pay for the damage to my truck?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical,
will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, she will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
Authorities in Indiana have arrested a 17-year-old in connection with those highway.
And the Peter B. Collins Show enters its second hour today. I'm glad you're listening. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Coming up later in the hour, Jason Leopold will check in. He's the investigative reporter from truthout.org. And a few years back, he covered the California blackouts, the energy crisis during the Gray Davis administration. He's going to join us to talk about the strain on the electrical grid in California. And hey, our power is still on, so I'm feeling lucky. Also on the show today, Melanie Sloan will join us from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Got three key stories to talk about, including Dr. Bill Frist and his allegedly blind trust. cashing in as the family is selling out their little retail business called Hospital Corporation for America. Also on today's show, Dr. Stephen Ducat. He wrote a book about Bush in 04 called The Wimp Factor, and he's going to update us on the masculinity raging through the Bush administration. That's all ahead. And in the next segment, we've got room for your phone calls, so join us on our new toll-free line, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-5-PETER-B, 1-888-573-8372. You got it? And each day at this time, we bring in Chris Tonsing. He is the editor of the Middle East Report on the web at merip.org. And Chris, thanks for joining us today. What is the latest set of developments from the conflict in the Middle East?
Well, Israel's defense minister has said that Israel is going to hold on to a security zone in South Lebanon until such time as an international stabilization force, as they're calling it, can be composed to take the place of the Israeli military and presumably carry out the task of disarming Hezbollah, or at least pushing it back from the region of the Israeli border.
Any details on the composition of that? Would that be a coalition of the willing, or?
Well, it's still not decided. This is still very much in the making. This is part of what Rice is discussing on her trips to the Middle East and elsewhere these few days. And most likely it would be either a NATO-led force or perhaps some kind of coalition of the willing under a UN aegis drawn from non-Western countries. The U.S. probably would not contribute many troops, if any, to a force. The key question, though, is what the mandate of the force would be, what its mission would be. If its mission would be to go into Lebanon with hostilities still underway and forcibly disarm Hezbollah, and particularly if Hezbollah thought that the Lebanese government had agreed to that setup, then that could be a recipe for civil war in Lebanon.
Well, and likewise, it appears that Israel, while opening the door a little bit to discussion of diplomacy and discussion of a peacekeeping, you know, intermediary force of some sort, it strikes me that they're simply buying time and that they have a plan to continue their efforts to rout Hezbollah militarily. And as you and I have discussed, I think they will reach a point of diminishing returns, but probably won't stop them from pursuing that policy.
Well, I think that's true. I think from the get-go, the signals that Israel has been sending that that it would be amenable to some kind of international force were predicated on the foreknowledge that any kind of actually assembling that force, agreeing on what its mandate would be and then actually assembling it is going to be going to take a long time. And in the meantime, Israel seems to still have a bright green light from Washington to continue its pounding of southern Lebanon in particular and its ground operations in southern Lebanon.
And from what you know, does Israel really need the resupply of laser-guided bombs and bunker buster bombs, or is this just another way of forcing the United States to express its undivided loyalty to Israel?
Well, I don't think any country needs those weapons. Their only purpose is to destroy things. It would indicate that certainly the circumstances would indicate that those bombs might be used on targets in Lebanon, adding to the destruction already there. There was a previous report a couple years ago of bunker busters being sent from the U.S. to Israel, and at the time the speculation was that they might be used to take out some of the hardened nuclear research facilities in Iran. Those weapons only have those kind of purposes, they're certainly not weapons of self-defense per se.
So what else is developing there? Are there efforts to deal with the displaced Lebanese population, now estimated at almost 750,000?
Well, certainly the Lebanese government has been unable to cope. There is a sort of makeshift coalition of Lebanese civil society activists and NGOs made up of a lot of leftist organizations in particular, which has tried to fill the gap, and they're doing valiant work trying to get food, medical aid, and other kinds of needed necessary supplies to the displaced people who are huddled in mostly in Beirut, but also in other cities around Lebanon. And Israel did say today that it would allow a so-called humanitarian corridor to open so that perhaps seaborne or airborne shipments of humanitarian supplies could come in to Lebanon. I don't believe that there, a date has been set for that yet. But that promise, I think, was extracted from Prime Minister Olmert by Rice on her trip to Jerusalem.
And to your knowledge, has Israel agreed to stop blowing up food trucks and other humanitarian supplies moving into Lebanon?
Well, I mean, certainly they say that they always say that any such incidents are operational failures or mistakes. Certainly they would not ever say that they were targeting such shipments.
Yeah. Today, the most recent Iraqi Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki, made his first visit to Washington, had a reception at the White House. I was briefly in the bank, and on the TV screen there, I saw a picture of Bush and Maliki holding a news conference. Haven't had a chance yet to capture what they talked about or what kinds of issues they admitted to discussing. But I thought Maureen Dowd captured it pretty well last week in a column she wrote that the Iraqi parliament has issued a blistering denunciation of Israel's attacks on Lebanon. And Maureen Dowd said, you know, what was it? There's no loyalty anymore among puppets. And Maliki does seem to be charting a course that separates himself from the president. What's hard to tell is if this is orchestrated in order to give him some street cred in Iraq, or if this is a puppet who's, pulling his own strings.
Well, Maliki was under quite a bit of pressure from people in his own coalition in Iraq not to even come to Washington, to actually cancel his trip in protest of the green light that Washington has given for the ongoing Israeli offensive. He rebuffed that pressure and came to Washington anyway, I think surely because he views Iraq's problems as paramount at the moment. Yes, it is. Certainly that's the story that the media is focusing on out of the news conference with Bush, that he did make pretty unequivocal comments calling for an immediate and urgent ceasefire, which is, of course, the position that has been taken by France and other countries around the world, and that the U.S. is pretty much isolated, along with Britain and Israel, in opposing at this juncture.
Mm-hmm. Any moves by Britain? Tony Blair has been chomping at the bit to get into the mix in the peacemaking phase of this. Has Bush given him permission yet? Has he allowed the lapdog to to heal?
There's still not much daylight between the British and U.S. positions, but I think the idea of a stabilization force probably originated with Tony Blair, and that may be the project that he claims as his own, and the proof of his independence from Washington in the end.
Mm-hmm. Chris Tonsing, any other developments you'd like to mention today?
Of course, while all of these diplomatic kabuki dances go on, there still is pretty horrible ongoing fighting in Lebanon. Four UN peacekeepers were killed in an Israeli Air Force strike on a UN observation post today. More Lebanese civilians were killed. A girl was killed in Israel in a Hezbollah rocket attack. And not to mention the ongoing problems of the displaced in Lebanon. So clearly, it is quite urgent for humanitarian reasons and to stop the violence that there be an immediate ceasefire.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thank you very much for covering this for us. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Okay.
Chris Tonsing, Middle East Report, on the web, MERIP.org. 16 minutes past the hour now. Next segment, wide open for your calls. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice, so grab a line and let's chat. You can call me on my new toll-free line, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And we'll go to your calls in just a moment, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be right back. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet Louis Basil of Jamestown Real Estate. And joining Louis will be Ronnie Bramer of New Horizon Real Estate Group of St. Petersburg, Florida. Ronnie and Louis will be sharing some great hot spots to invest in Florida and Louisville, Kentucky. That's this week on Rock Roller Real Estate. Heard every Sunday morning at 10. Listen online at rockrollerrealestate.com. For more information on this show and to be a guest, call 408-892-3376. 408-892-3376.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson on KRXA 540 with traffic. Santa Cruz Mountain, southbound 17 between the Summit and Glenwood Drive. Construction work going on to the right lane. Traffic now stacked up towards the Lexington Reservoir. More problems to let you know about this early afternoon in Monterey. Fremont Street on-ramp to northbound Highway 1. Two-car crash involved there. Hollister Highway 25 at Flynn Road. Car went off the roadway and landed in a ditch. Back to Santa Cruz County, that is, southbound Highway 1 before Mar Monte. It's a ladder between both lanes of traffic there. Termites work 24-7, 365. Luckily, Orkin works harder. The Orkin man has been fighting invasions for over 100 years, so protect your home, protect your family. For help, call 1-800-ORKINMAN today. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's hot along the Central Coast and in the Bay Area. Our friends in Eureka Arcata say things are pretty pleasant up there. Glad to hear that. My lines are open for you during this segment. We've got room for your call right now on any subject from any point of view, so get on the line. 888-5-PETER-B, 1-888-573-8372 is my number. And maybe you want to talk about some of the interesting remarks from Jeffrey Feldman of Frame Shop is Open. I think he's a very interesting guy who looks at language and rhetoric in a way that helps us understand the way it's used, particularly when it's used against us. So if you want to talk about that, you're welcome. Dan Weintraub talked about Schwarzenegger and Angelitis, the race coming up this November. 8-point gap now with Schwarzenegger pulling ahead. And so it's going to be quite a race between now and November. And so give us a call. We can talk about that. Coming up shortly, Jason Leopold will join us. He is going to check in on his cell phone because he reported a few minutes ago that there is a fire in an adjacent apartment building in Los Angeles, and so he has had to evacuate. Just another one of those summer surprises that we're contending with this year. 888-5-PETER-B. We'll go to your calls here in just a second. I want to thank Steve Pizzo, who blogs at newsforreal.com, and who sends interesting things into my email account. And I don't know exactly where this came from, but it is a list of 8 morons of the last year. And let's just give you a quick flavor. This one, number 1, will the real dummy please stand up? AT&T fired its president, John Walter, after just 9 months, saying that he lacked intellectual leadership. He got a $26 million severance package. That's pretty smart if you ask me. Number 2, with a little help from our friends, police in Oakland, California spent 2 hours attempting to subdue a gunman who had barricaded himself inside his home. After firing 10 tear gas canisters, officers discovered the man was standing beside them in the police line shouting, "Please come out and give yourself up." Next item here, what was Plan B? An Illinois man pretending to have a gun kidnapped a motorist, forced him to drive to 2 different automated teller machines, where the kidnapper proceeded to withdraw money from his own bank accounts. we have brilliant people in America. Here's one more for now. The getaway. A man walked into a Topeka, Kansas quick stop, asked for all the money in the cash drawer. Apparently the take was too small, so he tied up the store clerk and worked the counter himself for 3 hours until police showed up and grabbed him. Time permitting, I'll share the rest of those with you a little bit later on. Ben joins us from Salinas. Hello, Ben. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon, Peter. I'm a little bit irritated with the lapdog press. They're over there either following the killing and dying in Israel or the killing and dying in Iraq. But what's going on with Fitzpatrick? What about those traitors that outed Valerie Plame? What about what is the real purpose and existence and rationale for these concentration camps being built with our dollars? What about the integrity of the vote in Ohio and in Florida? What about all these things? Are we, everything went away? Bush going to the House and saying, not allowing them, he can investigate his own illegal procedures, and the Attorney General standing behind him on that, this torture and dying president.
Let's not forget the atrocities by American troops in Iraq, Haditha, Ramadi, Hamdaniya, Mahmoudia. And it was interesting because we were talking just a few minutes ago about Maliki, the new Iraqi prime minister who came to Washington.
Yep.
And one of the things he asked President Bush for was the right to try American soldiers in Iraq.
For crimes against... I mean, just think of it, Peter. I don't know if you're a father, but what is more helpless and precious and beautiful on this green earth than a 5-year-old little girl?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Who would kill that? Would kill their own mother. And this is, if it's the flaw in us, we need to be fixed. And we start to fix
by
getting these Nazis out of Washington and Sacramento.
Ben, you make a point about the 5-year-old. Even if her father is a missile launcher for Hezbollah, you know, she should not have to die for her father's acts. And the kind of indiscriminate shock and awe tactics that Israel is using really are inappropriate for what they say their mission is. They claim they want their soldiers back and they want to neutralize Hezbollah. You don't have to blow up half of Beirut to do that.
Well, you know what?
And you don't have to blow up cars on the road to Damascus flying white flags or blankets as people try to escape the bombing.
Well, you know what, my fellow American, you and I are arm in arm in the defense of the innocent.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Steve in Watsonville, thanks for your call. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks, Peter. In that vein, just let's remember that Olbert constitutes a liquid cadre that is equivalent to the neocons over here. That, you know, it's the Likudniks and Olbert that are the evil
You make a good point. It's now called the Kadima Party, but it is, you know, the remnants of Likud are very clear
right,
there.
Extreme right, exactly.
And Olmert is trying to prove that he is as much of a tough guy as Sharon was.
And in our Fox News, we've got people that are saying, well, I can't, how can they not see that Hamas and Hezbollah are just like the Nazis? And the reason I can't see that, I got a bumper sticker that's got a picture of the Reichstag fire right next to the World Trade Center. And it says, if history repeats, will we notice?
Hmm. Good point.
It's the right wing today, the right wing in Israel, the right wing in Britain, the right wing in Australia especially, and in the United States, that is the Nazi Party of the 21st century.
I wish I could disagree with you, Steve.
I wish you could too, Peter. God save Ireland. Okay. I don't think there's a faction like this in Ireland, is there?
Well, it depends what your perspective is. The British, think the IRA is like that. All right, thanks for your call, Steve.
Thanks.
Good to hear from you. I got four more of these. Morons from 2005. Next one is entitled, Did I Say That? Police in Los Angeles had good luck with a robbery suspect who couldn't control himself during a lineup. When detectives asked each man in the lineup to repeat the words, give me all your money or I'll shoot, the man shouted, that's not what I said. Number six, are we communicating? A man spoke frantically into the phone. My wife is pregnant and her contractions are only 2 minutes apart. The doctor asked, is this her first child? No, the man shouted, this is her husband. Next, not the sharpest tool in the shed. In Modesto, Stephen Richard King was arrested for trying to hold up a Bank of America branch without a weapon. He used a thumb and forefinger to simulate a gun. Unfortunately, he failed to keep his hand in his pocket. One more, the grand finale. Last summer on Lake Isabella, located in the high desert an hour east of Bakersfield, some folks tried to launch their new boat, a 22-foot powerboat. They couldn't get it to work. It was sluggish, so they brought it into the dock. The mechanic looked at it and said, you're supposed to remove the boat from its trailer before you use it. We'll continue with Jason Leopold next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with great news. I have a new time slot. Reality Radio can be heard every Saturday afternoon now from 4 to 5, so keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. With me, Sheila Gale, number one in Reality Radio. There's nothing we won't talk about. Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m., sponsored in part by Primerica Financial Services. Call Joe and Phyllis at the Marina office for your free consultation. See you Saturday on KRXA.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale at a new time. Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in Reality Radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See you Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I hope it's cool where you are. We're experiencing some strange weather, I think. Get to the chorus. We don't have all day.
There's a stillness in the air. Makes me want to cry.
I don't know if I want to cry, but I'm sweating a lot.
Strange weather. Dark clouds in the sky.
That's former Eagle Beagle Glenn Frey, title song from one of his solo albums. It's called Strange Weather. And our man Jason Leopold is on the streets of Los Angeles this afternoon, ejected from his apartment by a fire, and we'll blame that on the weather, Jason.
How are you, Peter? Yeah. Actually, it's my house.
Your house? Your house is...
My house, yeah. It was evacuated. I live in... who cares? I live in Benedict Canyon in L.A. area.
All right, we'll be right over. Is the pool filled?
Our neighbor's pool is still filled, but the fires never get anywhere near our area, even though we're, you know, situated in the canyon, but this one just sort of appeared out of nowhere. And, with the dry brush and this unusual hot weather, it's just it's a disaster situation in every respect, so...
Well, you know, a lot of neighbors in California these days share Wi-Fi, some people not knowing about it. And I think this is the time of year that people should share their swimming pools.
Yeah. I remember when we used to, back in my days of doing things that I shouldn't have been doing, we used to just jump in people's pools at night, mm-hmm. in the daytime, but I haven't seen much of that. I've seen a lot of people indoors using their air conditioning, which obviously is, creating for a creating a troublesome power situation.
Right. I want to talk about that, but I want to tell a story first, if you'll indulge me. It was 30 years ago next week that I made my cross-country trek to California. I had been living in Chicago, and I came out here, and I had a car that did not have air conditioning. And on Interstate 80, driving through Kansas during the daytime, it was just so beastly hot that we developed a little routine where we'd pull into a motel, we'd leave the engine running, we would go jump in the pool, we'd stay there until they kicked us out. And then we'd jump back in the car and repeat it at the next interchange.
Yeah. And that's when, you know, that's what the days of innocence, when you can just do those things and it's not really a big deal.
Right.
But well, it's a little harder.
Jason Leopold covered the California energy crisis when he was working for the Dow Jones News Service and broke a lot of interesting angles on that huge story that really dominated California for years and killed the political career of a guy named Gray Davis. We're still dealing with the aftermath of that, Jason. Now, we don't have Enron and companies gaming the system and trying to jack the price up through the roof the way it occurred in 01 and 02.
Sure.
But we do have limits to our capacity and limits to our ability to import power from other generating states.
Right. And I'm going to, it's a very, very complicated topic, anything that has to do with power and blackouts, brownouts. And I'm going to explain to basically what's happening and why we're seeing these scattered blackouts. For the most part, not just in California, but throughout the United States. And I should let everyone know that right now we don't have a supply shortage, at least in California, despite the fact that people are ramping up their air conditioners and there's just an incredible amount of demand. And the reason for that is that about 5 years ago, maybe four and a half, 5 years ago. Gray Davis signed these long-term energy contracts, electricity contracts, which basically ensured that we would have ample supply for at a fixed price for, say, a dozen years out.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem that we have here, and this goes back to almost 3 years ago when we saw the Northeastern blackout that just rolled through New York and reached as far as Canada.
Well, it started in Ohio and
brought
the whole eastern grid down.
Right, and that's where the problem lies. It's 3 years has gone by, and I'm actually preparing a story on this. And 3 years has gone by, and there has been zero improvements or upgrades or money spent to improve the infrastructure of our aging power grid.
Mm-hmm.
And in California specifically, what we're seeing right now is, we're seeing these blackouts and we're seeing, stage one emergencies, not just because of, because there's ample power, but because the distribution system, the power lines are incapable of really handling that much demand. The specifically in the area that you are, that you reside in, there's a path transmission line called Path 15.
Right, and Jason, Jason, you're the only guy I know who understands Path 15 without any explanation.
Well, it's funny. It's one of those things where I sometimes say, why do I know this, or how did I find this out? And basically what happened was there were, these serious blackouts, these serious power problems that happened about 4 or 5 years ago. And it turns out that Path 15,
mm-hmm.
which we're still dealing with this, with this trouble spot, is that when you have a huge demand of power, we're seeing right now record demands,
mm-hmm.
50,000 megawatts being used at one time. A megawatt can light 750 homes. The problem is that the power grid, the transmission lines are so old, they're just incapable of handling that much demand. So we have problems actually sending the power over these power lines, because what happens is that, the lines start to sag, it creates bottlenecks, And it's sort of like a traffic jam.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to, that leads to the blackout.
And path 15 is the power line system that is supposed to bring extra power to the north portion of the state when demand requires it.
Right.
And some of that comes from Southern California Edison. Some of it comes from as far away as Utah and Nevada and Arizona. And the problem is people are familiar with freeways where you're flying along with four lanes and all of a sudden you have to merge down to two, and it creates a backup. And if we use that metaphor, that's what's going on with Path 15. We want to jam four lanes of power into a two-lane system, and at a certain point, it simply cannot handle the load. Now, this was identified 6 years ago, Jason.
Correct.
And, I would offer up, I have at least six 100-foot orange extension cords, and I'd be happy to donate those to the state to help expand that capacity. But dagnabbit, why the hell haven't we done anything about Path 15? We've known that's a vulnerability, and it can't be that complicated to string some new cables up there.
Well, it's not complicated, and the problem is that it becomes a bureaucratic and a bureaucratic problem, more like bureaucratic red tape. And the fact is that there is a lack of investment or any of these power companies stepping up to invest in it because there would be no return on the investment. And it actually, Peter, is also a homeland security issue. I mean, right now we are dealing with such a terrible infrastructure, such an infrastructure that is prone to blackouts and collapse and for days at a time. That becomes a homeland security issue simply because it shuts down businesses. We saw what happened with Wall Street. And in California, past 15, again, the money has not been provided to really invest in these upgrades because nobody wants to step up because there really is no return on investment. And that also goes back to deregulation. Deregulation, basically, the utility companies which own the power lines, they sold off everything. Everything becomes, competition, and you start to, bid into the system, and everyone sort of has a chance to use these power lines and send power over it, but nobody wants to step up and say, well, okay, we'll invest in improving this so power flows more freely over the lines. Because there's no return on investment in it.
No. Why, Jason? Why is there no return on investment? I mean, it's a simple situation that utilities are supposed to invest in the capital infrastructure, and they bleed it out of us once a month for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, and that's the effect of deregulation. That's the effect that we've seen with with many of these out-of-state companies no longer not really doing any more business in California, because during the height of the energy crisis, you could build a power plant here. If you were hopefully able to bring it online in a year or two, it looked as if you could basically sell all the power that you were anticipating to generate, right away. But right now, it's, these energy companies, their stock, their bottom line, they're not making the money that they used to. Deregulation is not providing these companies with the with the profit margin that they had expected. So that's why right now we're actually not seeing more power plants being brought online in this state and no investment in California, because first of all, we do still have some regulatory restrictions in place, and we are still in this limbo where we're not truly a free market, which I still think is a bad idea, because electricity is vital, as just as oxygen is. You need it to survive. So we're actually in a situation now where you know, we're in this limbo area. We're not a free market. We're not a totally regulated market.
Yeah, and I'm old-fashioned, Jason. I believe that the regulated monopoly, that standard for utilities
right.
that was set up about 100 years ago is the most intelligent way to deal with common services that are needed by every citizen, every business. And we cannot let those important infrastructure pieces be controlled and operate at the whim of profiteers. Jason, I got to go to our break. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. Jason Leopold with us from the streets of 90210. There's a fire raging in his neighborhood. He'll continue with us in just a moment. If you have a question or a comment about energy in California and our current demand on the grid, get on the line now and we'll talk about it. You can call me on our new toll-free line, 1-888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's 46 minutes past the hour. We'll continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson with traffic. We'll start with a problem as you make your way through the Santa Cruz area. South 17 right at Ocean Street. It's a car that hit a skateboarder, so be careful. Once again, that's South 17 in the Santa Cruz area. Salinas Echo Valley Road at San Miguel Canyon. Grass fire burning near the roadway. Fire department is en route there. Del Monte Forest, Holman Highway 68 at Scenic Drive. A couple of cars reportedly blocking some lanes there. That's Holman Highway 68 at Scenic Drive in the Del Monte Forest area. Traffic not looking so bad as you make your way south on 101 coming away from the 85 interchange in South San Jose. South 17 slows from Lark to Highway 9 in Los Gatos. Sign up for a Players Club card at River Rock Casino in July and play your way to free gas. It's the gas and cash giveaway, and your play can get you $25 in free gas every day from River Rock Casino in Alexander Valley.
And the Peter B. Collins Show is cooking. It's about 86 degrees in here. And during the commercial breaks, we turn on this really loud window air conditioner unit that brings it down to 84.
Concentrating on trucking right. I heard a dark voice beside of me. And I look round in a state of fright.
We continue with Jason Leopold, our weekly correspondent. He writes for truthout.org, and he's got a new memoir out called News Junkie that you ought to read. I really enjoyed it. And Jason, I want to let you know that last week we talked to your boss, Mark Ash, from truthout.org, supporting the fun drive that's underway right now, and we just underscored our support for you in the controversy over the Roe indictment and the reporting that you've done, and we look forward. In fact, just half an hour ago, a listener called and said the action in the Middle East has pushed a lot of things off of our news desktop, including that story, and where is Patrick Fitzgerald? So as that news continues to break, we look forward to your continuing reports.
Well, it's very much appreciated, Peter, and we're continuing to follow it.
Mm-hmm. Now,
and we'll continue to do that.
Okay, good.
I wanted to actually mention that, you know, one of the other problems that we have right now is that this has been a sort of ongoing battle, if you will. The California Independent System Operator, which is the agency that manages, you know, the power grid of the state, you know, they manage all these transmission lines,
right,
ensuring basically their job is to keep the lights on by all any means necessary. And they, in 2 weeks ago, they sent to Congress, and they actually testified about, you know, the summer outlook in California. And often in the past, you know, the California ISO has become very, very political, has also played or has also tried to paint a very rosy picture of what the, you know, what the outlook is for the summer. And in fact, this report that they sent to Congress does exactly that. It says that, you know, basically more or less everything's going to be fine. We have enough power. Don't foresee any problems. That actually, you know, where that conflicts with the, and by the way, what's really great, let me just tell you, is that if you go on to, and this is also for, you know, for the listeners, the California Independent System Operator website, caiso.com, actually has a really, a lot of great information. You can see what's happening in real time, you know, see what power plants trip offline, and what the demand is. But getting back to their report, the North American Electric Reliability Council actually issued a similar report back in May. The exception, however, is that they stated that they predict that there will be severe problems in California, severe problems in the event of, you know, a heat wave. And that's exactly what we're seeing now. And unfortunately, you know, the state agency, the California Independent System Operator, is just not doing a very, you know, they're doing a good job in terms of, you know, they try to keep the lights on. But when it comes to actually getting people, you know, preparing people and giving us the reality of the situation in advance, it becomes more about politics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's something that I've been trying to, you know, I've been actually writing about that for 5 years.
And describe the politics in a little more detail. Is it that they don't want to send bad news when the governor's up for re-election?
Yeah, that's exactly it. It becomes, you know, the position at the California Independent System Operator, at least, you know, many of the, or at least the person that runs the organization, it's a, you know, position in which, you know, you're appointed to. And it does have a lot to do about not wanting to send out bad news. And it certainly took place in some respect when Gray Davis was there, although it's interesting, it was quite the opposite. It was actually they were sending out bad news or were perhaps trying to send out bad news, and Davis didn't want them to do that. And there's also this sort of power struggle about whether or not, you know, who controls this agency? Who does this agency have to answer to? It should be autonomous from state government, and the legislature, but it actually is, you know, it's overseen by FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and they really have to answer to them. But in terms of these two reports, they are decidedly different, and it's really, you know, I was looking at both of them yesterday, and, you know, the one from the North American Electric Reliability Council paints a really dire picture for California this summer. Exactly what they said back in May is certainly what we're seeing right now. And again, it has to do not with supply, but with distribution and our infrastructure. You could have, you know, an abundant supply. But if there's, you know, if you're having a problem sending it along, you know, to reach people, that's, you know, that's going to cause for, you know, difficulty and loss of, economic loss. I mean, it leads to a whole host of, problems.
Now, there was a ballot measure 2 years ago that was attempting to, or actually it was on the November ballot last year, and it got killed with all of Arnold's roadkill. It was from the toward utility rate normalization, TURN, whatever they call themselves now. And they had a pretty intelligent approach to re-regulating the industry here in California. And it would address two of the things that we've talked about. One is to regulate it in a manner that would provide incentives for these companies to make the necessary investments and not simply to skim the cash out. We saw, you know, in my view, and you and I have talked about this before, Jason, that PG&E was ruthless. That's Pacific Gas and Electric.
Absolutely.
They were ruthless in using the energy crisis to jam through the bankruptcy process, a whole reorganization of their company to make it more profitable for shareholders at the expense of ratepayers.
Exactly.
And so we need to find some way to generate the political will to generate new regulations that will generate more power in this state.
Right. And, you know, and the thing is that Gray Davis was recalled, for the most part because his inability to truly get a handle on the energy crisis. We know now that it wasn't entirely his fault that these companies were gaming the market. But Schwarzenegger came in, was elected, with the promise that he would clean this disaster up. I'm telling you, this is right now what we have is a Band-Aid on this problem, and it's going to continue every single summer. It's getting hotter. There's outlooks for next summer. It's, you know, we are in a situation now where we simply have, you know, put a Band-Aid on the problem. And it's not getting any better. And this is actually, you know, we're seeing it right now. What we're seeing is a nationwide problem. And you're right, with the Middle East and things that are happening there, these domestic issues, that are happening right in our backyard, we're sort of forgetting about. But it's, again, I really emphasize that this is a homeland security issue.
Yeah.
If it's that easy, you know, for this to happen where, you know, LAX gets shut down,
mm-hmm.
Planes can't land, you know.
It's also the economic cornerstone of the fifth biggest frickin' economy in the world.
Right.
And we can't live on battery power.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jason, thanks for your work. Give us a quick update on your house. It's okay?
Yes. It's, I just lived there for a year, and it's, you know what housing costs in California, so. Yeah, it's still standing.
All right,
of course,
good.
I think, I'm not sure, Peter, but I want to blame Karl Rove. He may have tried to light the fire. I know that I've been accused of lighting fires, but this is a little too much.
Jason Leopold, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week. Melanie Sloan joins us next right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. Among the latest victims of the violence in the Middle East, UN observers, their post along the Israeli border hit by an Israeli bomb.
At this point, there are two UN military observers who were killed, and we fear that there are two more that might be dead as well.
And UN Secretary General Kofi Annan wants an investigation. Brendan Varma is a UN spokesman.
The fire came from Israeli Defense Forces, and Prime Minister Ehud Olmert of Israel had given his personal assurances to the Secretary General that no fire from Israel would be directed towards the UN post.
In fact, the post was hit several times today. Hezbollah's leader, Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah, was shown on Lebanese television. He said Hezbollah will now start firing rockets deeper into Israel. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice has arrived in Rome, where CBS News reporter Sabina Castelfranco has a preview of the upcoming Mideast conference.
A strict security plan is in place for the one-day Middle East meeting co-chaired by Italy and the United States at the Foreign Ministry in Rome. Those attending the conference include the U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and the U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan, as well as ministers and top representatives from 18 nations and international organizations.
The U.S. is concerned about some Americans trapped in southern Lebanon with no way to get out. CBS News correspondent Lee Cowan met some of them in the town of Tyre.
Relentless is no cliche when it comes to Israel's assaults across the border. It's hard to imagine what's left to hit. We counted at least a dozen explosions every minute at one point. Still, at least 200 people managed to drive right through it, one after the other, limping into our compound all day and late into the evening, looking for safety and a way home. Turns out, they were all Americans.
State Department says it is in contact with a number of Americans and looking at ways to get them out. President Bush met at the White House today with a visiting Iraqi prime minister. Mr. Bush said more troops will be moved to Baghdad from other areas of Iraq because of the upsurge in violence there.
This plan will involve embedding more U.S. military police with Iraqi police units to make them more effective.
The Iraqi prime minister said he hopes his country does not dissolve into civil war. Triple-digit temperatures are still baking California.
The heat is definitely on here in California, with officials who run the California power grid issuing a stage one alert. That means they're asking consumers to voluntarily conserve to avoid a blackout.
CBS News correspondent Jerry Bowen, more than 30 deaths may be related to the heat, and 1.5 million people have lost power at some point since the heat wave began. The Senate has just passed a bill making it a crime to take a pregnant girl across state lines for an abortion without her parents' knowledge. On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrials finished up 52 points at 11,103, and the NASDAQ was higher by 12. This is CBS News.
CompUSA email bag.
Steve emails, "Dear CompUSA, got any killer back-to-school deals?" Steve, we've got hundreds of killer deals, including $300 off a Toshiba laptop with Intel Core Duo processor and Microsoft Media Center Edition. $300 off! That puts it under $700 after savings and rebate. Our lowest price ever. This and other great deals are good through Saturday at CompUSA's back-to-school sale. We got it? We get it. See store for details.
Hi, I'm Sterling Marlin, driver of the number 14 Waste Management Chevrolet.
And I'm Bill Lester, driver of the number 23 Waste Management car.
You know, we're just two drivers of a team of 30,000.
That's because our team at Waste Management has drivers and pit crews all over the country.
So if you're revved up for a new career, call Waste Management at 877-220-JOBS.
Call now and get it in gear.
From everyday collection to environmental protection, think green, think Waste Management. Call 877-220-JOBS today.
Researchers now have an explanation for why Lance Armstrong and many other testicular cancer victims recover from tumors that have spread throughout their bodies.
What kept Lance Armstrong's wheels turning after he conquered cancer?
My desire to tell the story and to show that it's possible is most of my ambition.
And what made his recovery possible? A novel explanation in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Testicular cancer originates in a cooler area of the body, and when it moves and heats up, it's more easily treated. Skeptics, including Armstrong's Dr. Scott, but Johns Hopkins Dr. Robert Getzenberg defends the theory.
There are a number of studies in cell models and in animal models that by warming tumors, we can make them much more treatable.
Next, he says, developing ways to target tumors with heat. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The number of illegal immigrants caught trying to sneak into this country has reportedly dropped since President Bush ordered the National Guard to the border. Officials say fewer people are attempting to cross over. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Okay. The question before the court is this.
Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we'd do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Net Zero, America's number one value-priced internet service, is only $9.95 a month, and there's no commitment and no credit card required. Signing up for Net Zero is so simple, you'll be online in minutes. Plus, Net Zero gives you powerful virus protection, and your service is backed by a connection guarantee. Join the millions of people who have switched to the internet service that ranks higher than AOL in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or go to netzero.com.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show as we launch into hour number three today. In just a second, we're going to talk about the circus in Washington, the corrupt one at that. And for our listeners in Eureka, just 4 minutes from now, we're going to cut away so you can hear the Crabs play baseball. Don't blame Karl Rove or Homeland Security. This is a planned interruption of the Peter B. Collins Show in Eureka only. And then we'll be joined in a few minutes by Dr. Stephen Ducat. He wrote a book a few years back about George W. Bush and his family. It's called The Wimp Factor. And he'll be joining us to update us on some of these analyses of his about our current president. Now that's coming up in just a few minutes. And if you're listening in Eureka, you can switch over online if you'd like. You can listen at KRXA540.com. And joining us now for our weekly briefing on corruption in Washington is the woman who's battling it on a steady basis, Melanie Sloan, the executive director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. They're on the web at citizensforethics.org. Melanie, how are you holding up today?
Good. We've been having a good week.
Oh, good. Well, first up, I read the news and clipped this article from the New York Times. Delay PAC draws a fine and agrees to shut down. This refers to ARM PAC, Americans for a Republican Majority. And this was one of the political action committees that was set up by the former number two in the House of Representatives.
That's right. Tom Delay had set up ARM PAC, and it was really the source of all of his power, because in Washington, money is power, as in, I guess, so much of the world, really. But Tom DeLay was able to raise huge amounts of money, and then he gave it away to his colleagues, and that's what ARM PAC did. ARM PAC raised money and then contributed money to different members of the House, many, many members of the House, to help keep them in power, which made them incredibly loyal to Tom DeLay.
And over the course of it, too, there was another Texas-based political action committee called Trim PAC. And the nexus of those committees is really the source of Ronnie Earl's indictment in Austin, right?
Right. There's Texans for a Republican Majority, or Trim PAC, and Americans for a Republican Majority, or ARM PAC. And that is, in fact, what Mr. Earl is prosecuting Mr. DeLay for, his misdeeds regarding Trim PAC. But as regards to, we'll move to Trim PAC, but to just discuss ARM PAC for a minute. Last August, the FEC audited ARM PAC and found that they had engaged in a bunch of misconduct, which included improperly reporting $400,000 in contributions and expenses and failing to report $322,000 in debts to vendors. And the most important thing that they did was that they had failed to properly allocate between hard money and soft money. And so that everybody knows, hard money is donations from individuals, and soft money is money from corporations and unions.
And hard money is subject to limitations, and soft money generally is not.
That's right. And when we talk about soft money with Tom DeLay, we're really only talking about corporate money, because I don't really think there were unions that gave to Tom DeLay. But there are limits on what candidates can spend the, quote, soft money or corporate money on, because in federal law, you cannot spend soft money on federal campaigns. And in fact, in the state of Texas, you can't fund state campaigns with it either. although that varies by state, but that turns out to be important in TrimPak's case.
Mm-hmm.
But in any event, it turns out that Tom DeLay was improperly spending soft money on things that the federal money, the hard dollars, were supposed to be spent on. And the FEC issued one of its largest fines in history against Mr. DeLay, against ARMPAC, for their violations of these rules, $115,000. And this happened only in response to Crew's complaint. Although the FEC had audited ARMPAC and found that they had engaged in violations, the staff of the audit division had said, but they didn't really think the enforcement division needed to take action. And strangely, the way the FEC is set up, just because the audit division finds wrongdoing doesn't mean it gets sent over to the enforcement division for further prosecution.
Huh.
So Crew read the audit and said, well, no, that seems really bad to us, and so we filed a complaint. And the FEC is also required, if somebody files a complaint, to at least investigate the matter. So this led to an investigation, and a full year later, the FEC issued its $115,000 fine and said that ARMPAC has to shut down.
But don't you feel sorry for the hammer? I mean, he's only got $1 million left in his campaign account, and now he's going to have to peel off $115,000 for a lousy fine to the FEC. Don't you have any compassion for him?
I think I have about as much compassion as he deserves. The place where this is particularly going to be interesting is I'm a former prosecutor, and you can use other crimes evidence at trial if you can show a pattern of conduct, a pattern of misconduct. And if I were Ronnie Earle, I would be seeking to admit the evidence of Tom DeLay's misdeeds with regard to ARMPAC in the case against TrimPak, because Tom DeLay has claimed down in Texas that he didn't know he was violating the law. They had no idea they were misusing the money. But here, it looks like ARMPAC has been doing very similar things that Ronnie Earle has alleged TrimPak has been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that tends to show that DeLay and his colleagues did, in fact, know just what they were doing, and they were violating the law intentionally. That could really hurt Mr. DeLay in his case in Texas, and I'm sure that there will be a motion to exclude this evidence by his lawyers at some point.
Mm-hmm. Now, first of all, I want to congratulate you for pursuing this what appears to be a just conclusion, and this is just another notch in the Crew belt. You've told me you don't actually have a belt like that, but there's a jig you do in the office, right?
That's right. I do my little victory dance.
Now, you said a moment ago that this is one of the biggest fines in FEC history, but a Republican lawyer in Washington, Jan Barron, who was contacted by the New York Times, said, well, it's not chopped liver, but it's not a record by any stretch of the imagination. Who's right here?
Well, I mean, we're both right. It's in the top 50 fines. In fact, it's tied for 39th, to be exact. But the largest fine is, I think, about $3 million.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a few pounds of chopped liver.
That's a few pounds of chopped liver. The FEC, though, often, you know, as we've talked about once before with Senator Frist, whose former campaign committee was recently issued a fine, that was an $11,000 fine.
Mm-hmm.
So a $115,000 fine is a very serious fine. And in addition, ARMPAC is being forced to shut down. So it's clear that the FEC, which is kind of a toothless organization at best, really, has taken this matter pretty seriously, and Tom DeLay is definitely being slapped down.
Well, there's more life there than, say, at the House Ethics Committee.
That's true, but that's because the House Ethics Committee is, in fact, dead.
Melanie, you mentioned the name of a good doctor, well, a not-so-good doctor, but a senator from Tennessee, Bill Frist. And yesterday it was announced that his little family company, the Hospital Corporation of America, now known as HCA, has entered into a deal to sell their assets in a leveraged buyout worth over $30 billion. Now, I'm just curious, because you and I have talked about his not-so-blind trust in the past, and his office has issued a statement that he has no knowledge of how he might benefit from the sale of the family business. Do you believe?
Well, Mitzi, let's guess. I think he's going to make some money.
Yeah.
probably a very significant amount in the hundreds of millions of dollars would be about what I'd guess. But
and if you can deal with a bad pun, we could say that they're making money hand over fist.
That's good. Well, but I feel like that kind of answer is typical of the answer you've gotten out of Bill Frist ever since this whole matter of HCA stock and his improper dealings has ever come up. And they have tried to sort of weasel out of ever being held responsible for any of their bad conduct. And this is just further evidence of that, that they can't even say, yeah, Dr. Frist is going to make money. Just shows that they're disingenuous.
Yeah. Now, to one other case, Duke Cunningham, who is resting, hopefully not too comfortably, in the slammer. He was the congressman from Southern California, convicted and sentenced to, 9 years in jail for over $2 million in bribes that he received. And now there's an interesting story surfacing. We don't know all the details because some of it is classified, but it seems that the Dukester was able to insert either earmarks or just favorable bennies for his cronies, the people who contributed to his campaigns, bought him the Rolls Royce, the yacht, and all that stuff. And that we may never know what these expenditures were or whether they were justified.
That's right, because he was putting the money into what we call, or what we call here in Washington, black budgets, which are classified defense, basically spy budgets. And so nobody can know exactly what goes into them. And so one of the best reasons to put money into them is because, or to put earmarks in, is because no one can ever question you. Because only other members of Congress can go and look at these appropriations bills for these black budgets, and they're locked in windowless rooms in vaults. And so how many times do you think a member of Congress does that? Let's say, never. So nobody ever actually reviews these budgets, and apparently Cunningham was able to bully staff into putting these appropriations in. Pete Hoekstra, who's the chairman of the committee, has a Republican from Michigan, mm-hmm. is working with Democrat Jane Harman from California. They took the rather unusual step of hiring an outside investigator, a man named Michael Stern, to see how Cunningham was able to carry out the scheme. And Mr. Stern says that he does, in fact, think that that's what Mr. Cunningham was doing, but Mr. Cunningham isn't answering any questions. And the reason he's not answering any questions, frankly, is because the Justice Department screwed this case up and he was already sentenced.
Right.
That's just, as you know, anybody who watches Law and Order knows, you hold the sentencing over a defendant's head so that you make sure that they have given you all the information you need before they're sentenced. So you then go in and tell the judge, yes, he's cooperated.
Mm-hmm.
But here, justice went in too early, did Duke sentencing very quickly, and now Mr. Cunningham has no reason to cooperate with anybody unless they reduce his sentence, basically, which is something that's possible but would sure be a big embarrassment for the Justice Department. So I don't see them coming in to ask for Mr. Cunningham's sentence to be reduced. Mr. Hoekstra has said, well, he'll subpoena Duke Cunningham, but Duke Cunningham has a Fifth Amendment right here not to testify about what he was illegally inserting into these black budget bills, so that's not going to work either.
So probably a dead end, but at least we know something like that probably occurred.
That's right.
All right, Melanie, thanks for your report. We'll talk to you next week.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Melanie Sloan, visit their website at CRU, Citizens for Ethics, citizensforethics.org. It's 17 past the hour, and as we continue, we'll be joined by Dr. Stephen Ducat, the author of The Wimp Factor, and we're going to analyze George W. Bush right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner. It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Kia Sedona, a seven-passenger minivan with three rows of seats. With a low price and generous warranties, Kia is getting more competitive with Japanese and American car makers. The Sedona has a 3.8-liter fuel-injected six-cylinder engine and a five-speed automatic with average power and acceleration. It passed our grueling hill climb test with no problem. It's roomy inside, and the third seat folds flat for cargo, but wouldn't be comfortable for an all-day trip. My demo has AC and power locks, but it's not loaded with accessories or leather. By the numbers, the 2006 Kia Sedona minivan gets 18 mpg in the city, 25 miles to the gallon on the highway, and stickers in California for about $24,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540 Hollister 156 at the 25 interchange. A big rig and a pickup truck involved in an accident here. Del Monte Forest, Holman Highway 68 at Scenic Drive. Two-car crash reportedly blocking a couple of lanes. CHP is on the scene. Delays on 17 southbound from Lark to Highway 9 in Los Gatos. Then again from Bear Creek Road to the summit in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Once again, that South 17 slowing from Highway 9 in Lark to Highway 9 in Los Gatos. Sign up for a free Players Club card at River Rock Casino in July and play your way to free gas. It's the gas and cash giveaway, and your play can get you $25 in free gas every day from River Rock Casino in Alexander Valley. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
His dad, now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties cause he could, struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt, let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout, we'll all feel better in the morning.
Yeah, let's put him in a straitjacket and ask a psychologist for a little analysis of George W. Bush. Stephen J. Ducat is our guest for the remainder of this hour. In 2004, correct, is when you published the book?
That was the hardcover, and the paperback came out in 2005.
And it's called The Wimp Factor, Gender Gaps, Holy Wars, and the Politics of Anxious Masculinity. And the Wimp Factor derives its title not from George W. Bush, but from his daddy. And it was Time Magazine, or was it Newsweek?
It was Newsweek.
Yeah.
It was Newsweek.
About 88, 89?
Yeah, I think it was about 88.
Yeah.
He was, his face, very anxious-looking face on the cover of Newsweek, with the headlines that blared The Wimp Factor, to which they referred to an image of George H.W. Bush as having questionable testicular credentials.
Right, yeah. And it haunted him for some time, didn't it?
It his entire political career, and I would add, I think it also haunted the career of his son.
He's trying to overcome many of these issues, and we'll talk about that as we go forward. What were the essential elements of the characterization of Poppy Bush as a wimp?
Well, he was seen as too affiliative. It had actually more to do, I mean, there really wasn't much substance to it. Here was a guy who was the head of the CIA, and certainly as predatory and sociopathic as anyone else of his ilk. It was really a matter of style. He had an aristocratic style, which in American society, going all the way back to the founding of the country, has been associated with an image of effeminacy. You know, with Americans from very early on disdained any of the accoutrements and mannerisms of the aristocracy, and George H.W. Bush was perceived as being an effete aristocrat.
Eastern, not liberal, but not an liberal. Eastern establishment insider, entitled.
Yeah, country club style Republican.
Right. And that's an interesting marker because W. has clearly gone to great lengths to obscure his own country club past.
That's right.
And identify as a Texan, the phony ranch. He kind of is emulating Lyndon Baines Johnson now with some of his tough talk and that impromptu recording from St. Petersburg kind of underscores that. But there is a lot about W where he is reacting very clearly to the legacy of his father.
Well, in many ways, he's actually following in the footsteps of Theodore Roosevelt, who underwent a very similar makeover in the in late 19th century. As Theodore Roosevelt himself, a member of the patrician caste, the Eastern establishment of his day, who was very widely seen as effeminate, as a fop. He was nicknamed Oscar Wilde. He was accused of sucking the ivory knob of a cane. Various things, and he underwent his own makeover and bought a ranch in the Dakotas and renamed himself Cowboy of the Dakotas and underwent a very eerily similar makeover that George W. Bush has.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, George W. Bush is really undoing an attempt to undo his kind of father's wimp. Attribution.
Right. Well, and Daddy, his only connection to Texas was a hotel room that he maintained in Houston as his legal residence for voting purposes. But he was a jet set Texan. While he ran from office, for office from there unsuccessfully, it was a second home to him. But Junior W. Really embraced the Texas lifestyle, moved to Midland, failed at a series of oil deals, but he was trying to chase what was that show? Dallas, the oil barons, the Ewings. Yeah. That's who he was after.
And bought himself a ranch, although you could scarcely call it a ranch. I mean, all he does there is photo ops, clearing brush, and fall off his mountain bike on a periodic basis.
Yeah, and avoid Cindy Sheehan. I always want to call her Cindy Crawford. Now, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're a professor of psychology. You're a licensed clinical psychologist, and you've never met George W. Bush, and you make no pretense that you're actually performing any kind of serious analysis, correct?
Well, I would say I'm performing a serious analysis, although he is not on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, what is on the couch is not so much a George W. Bush, but a particular kind of masculinity. Part of what my book looks at is how, it's the psychology of male conservatism. And in particular, how their terror of the feminine affects their political attitudes and behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I think George W. Bush is, an example of that, but there's nothing exceptional about him in that respect, other than the fact that he happens to be president, unfortunately.
We're going to take a break and continue with Dr. Stephen J. Ducat. His book is called Wimp Factor. We're talking about George W. Bush. If you have a question or comment, get on the line. He's with us for the rest of the hour. 888-5-PETER-B is my new number. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for Tasty New Shows. Sponsored by the Monterey County Vintners and Growers Association's 14th Annual Winemaker Celebration on August 12th from noon until 4 p.m. For more information, go to the web at montereywines.org.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale. At a new time, Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in Reality Radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast. It's 33 minutes past the hour. We're talking with author Dr. Stephen J. Ducat about George W. Bush. The book is called The Wimp Factor.
Are you man enough? Big and bad enough? Are you gonna let them shoot you down? When the evil flies and your brother cries, are you gonna be around? Someone needs a friend just to
some Motown music from about 1970, The Four Tops, from a forgettable movie called Shaft in Africa, Are You Man Enough? And it's the perfect theme music for what we're discussing here, Stephen Ducat.
Yeah, the Republicans giving us the shaft.
And we don't have to go to Africa.
We don't have to go anywhere.
Very good line. This need to prove manhood. this testosterone-laden environment that they have created in Washington, this idea that we can introduce democracy to Iraq at the point of a gun, all these things are just extreme man-think that's gone way overboard, aren't they?
Well, they're manifestations of a kind of hypermasculinity, you know, which is really defensive. It's a kind of political strutting designed to manage one's own anxieties about masculinity.
Bring it on.
Yeah, and for one example of that anxiety that we're trying to overcome is what was called the Vietnam syndrome, which was seen as a kind of timid, limp-wristed unwillingness to exercise American power and dominance in the world. And of course, when the first Gulf War was proclaimed as the victory over the wimp factor, which is also the victory over the Vietnam syndrome. So we have a number of traits. We have the kind of untrammeled arrogance, probably the number one trait, the unwillingness to accept any advice, to research a problem,
even from his own dad.
Even from his own dad. Because to get help of any kind is seen as feminizing.
He would never ask for directions, Bush, right?
That's right. Which is why he ended up in Iraq.
Yeah, I mean, if he had just talked to Daddy about what had occurred there. Go ahead and put your headphones on for a second, Stephen.
Yeah.
I have a clip here, if I can get the machine to play it. This is George W. Bush from a primetime news conference, April of 2004. And the question was put to him, have you made any mistakes? Can you think of any mistakes that you've made as president of the United States?
I'm sure historians will look back and say, gosh, you could have done it better this way or that way. I'm sure something will pop in my head here in the midst of this press conference, all the pressure of trying to come up with an answer.
Isn't this amazing?
It hadn't yet. I would have gone into Afghanistan the way we went into Afghanistan.
Now, he's not answering the question, have you made a mistake? He is defending himself by asserting that he did the right thing. But, you know, later on here he says, well, maybe some appointments, but I don't want to embarrass people.
Even though what I know today about the stockpiles of weapons, I still would have called upon the world to deal with Saddam Hussein.
So implicit there was that he knew, or he now knows, that there were no WMD. So it's very interesting. He is simply unable to cop to simple errors that are so obvious to us all.
Which really tells us about an incredible brittleness to this kind of masculinity. Because it can't acknowledge any problem, it can't accept any help, any guidance. There's this kind of fantasy of absolute omnipotence. And that it not only leads to catastrophe, but of course a rewriting of history. Because you can't acknowledge it, you can't be reflective.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no wonder that, this terror of the feminine, I just refer to as femophobia, mm-hmm. the male fear of being feminine. There, part of this femophobia is a kind of allergy to self-reflection, which is why they often use therapy as a metaphor for feminization. You know, they accuse the Democrats, Karl Rove accused the Democrats of wanting to do therapy on the terrorists.
Right.
Well, that's no accident, because unlike Republicans, he said, who want to go to war. So war and therapy, in a way, are, they're symbols of a gender continuum, mm-hmm. Of hypermasculinity at the war end and femininity at the therapy end.
Yeah.
So, of course, they can't think.
And you emailed me a piece that you wrote after Katrina where you tied this this feminism issue or female issue to FEMA.
Yeah.
Interesting
That's right.
Play on words there. Explain.
Yeah. Yes, well, the article was called Taking the Femme Out of FEMA. FEMA is interesting because it, as an organization, it really epitomizes everything that Republicans hate. It's designed to help people, number one.
Yeah, that's awful.
It's designed to help.
Unacceptable.
Just terrible, terrible. Yeah. You don't want to help people who need it.
Right, yeah.
Hence the tax cuts for the rich.
Mm-hmm.
So not only do you help people, but you help people who, at their most vulnerable, at their weakest, when they have the fewest resources. You know, FEMA, I think, for Republicans, I don't just think, I know, given Joseph Alba, who's the first Bush appointee to FEMA, said...
Right, he was a campaign guy from 2000.
He referred to FEMA as an oversized entitlement program.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, this... It's,
yeah, we're entitled to relief after a hurricane or an earthquake. Yeah, that's socialism, isn't it?
Right. And not only is it socialistic, but it's an intrusion of what they call the nanny state, a kind of nightmare, Republican nightmare version of a feminine state that's going to reduce you to a wimp and an infant, if it helps in any way.
Let's take a call. Jay's on the line from Monterey. You can join us at 888-5-PETER-B. That's the new number, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. And Jay, welcome with Dr. Ducat.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
So I want to express a frustration I've had with liberal talk radio or progressive talk radio, and also relate that to your guest today.
All right.
And also to W.C. Fields.
Okay.
Who basically said, never give a sucker an even break. And I love hearing your guest today, and when you had Lakoff on, the real issue to me is the thing that I'm frustrated with progressives is just this focus on the leadership, focus on George Bush, focus on the people in Congress. I just finished reading Greg Palast's Our Madhouse book, and he lays it right out. He says, let's face it, even though it was close enough to steal, 59 million people went to the polls and pulled it for George Bush. And so when I see all the blame going to Bush and the people in power, I go, they're not the problem. The problem is the people. How could anyone even believe in them in the first place? Which is why I was saying Fields said, never give a sucker an even break. So when I hear your guest, this is what I really want to hear. Like, why did these people vote for him? And more importantly, how can we change that? How can we get them to see through the fact that basically, if you strip away everything, I mean, all the policies in place make perfect sense. They're not mistaken. They're not misguided. They're not foolish. If you look at them as taking from the poor, taking from the middle class, and giving to the super rich.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a book called Perfectly Legal by David K. Johnston. A great, great book.
We, in fact, we're trying to get a hold of David right now and get him back on the program. He penned a piece in the New York Times over the weekend describing how the Bush administration has cut in half the number of lawyers and investigators at the IRS who are in charge of limiting the abuses performed by estates and other tax dodge vehicles of the very rich. So that's Johnston, and we'll get him back on the program soon. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
But Jay, let me say to your central point that you are once again demonstrating to me just how smart and well-informed many of the listeners to this program are, and I really appreciate it, because you made a point that I have made before, and that is we can blame the leaders of either party.
Yeah.
We can blame a lot of different people. You can blame voting machines, you can blame the corporate media, and they earn the criticism that is directed at them.
Yeah.
But fundamentally, we've got to look at the American people and say, why are so many people disconnected, apathetic about what's going on? You may have heard me say this, Jay, that in the June primary in California, we had only 30% turnout. And then 2 weeks later, I was in Washington. They had the Virginia Senate primary. This guy, Jim Webb, is an interesting former Reagan administration official running as a Democrat.
Yeah.
The turnout was 3.5%. Now, can you tell me that 96% of the people in Virginia have no opinion about the United States senator who represents them, and the issues of the campaign were clearly drawn across the war and the failures of this administration? Where are the people? And how can they, you know, care more about the accuracy of voting on American Idol than the stolen election in Ohio in 2004?
Beautifully
put. So let's turn to the doctor here. Can you analyze the American people next? Stephen?
Well, actually, that is what I've analyzed in my book.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the questions you're posing are exactly the right questions. It's not, you know, so much the psychology of Bush. Bush is a specimen, you know, of a much larger phenomena. The real and more disturbing question is, how do you get so many American men to vote against their own economic self-interest?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead and clear yourself.
And the other thing I was going to say.
Just one second, Jay. We'll get back to you.
Oh, sure.
There is a powerful book, not a psychological analysis, but Thomas Frank wrote What's the Matter with Kansas?
Right.
And in it, he tries to describe the phenomena of the shift in the electorate in Kansas from a very progressive state, and then it started with Reagan.
Mm.
And he notes that Reagan and other Republicans have found ways to persuade average Americans to vote against their naked self-interest. And if you haven't picked up that book, Jay, I recommend it. It's really brilliant.
Okay. It's an excellent book.
But the thing is that my frustration is not just with all those people who voted for Bush, but 95% of what I hear from progressives, whether on the radio or in the media or just in personal conversation, is focus on the leaders, focus on Bush. Sure, he's an idiot, but, you know, the problems go so much deeper, and, you know, I really want to see the focus put on the people. The people who voted for him, why that? And so whenever I hear about, you know, this, all the stuff going on, all the chicanery going on, it's all true. It's all true, all true. But I think the focusing on that is avoiding dealing with the real issue, which is a much tougher issue, to look at the fact that, I mean, the way Palast put it is he said, we basically had a national intelligence test and we flunked. And you know, but we really need to deal with the fact that our neighbors and friends, many of whom are wonderful people, but how can they be so fooled? But again, our focus as progressives, like, you know, deal on the grassroots idea, the grassroots, whereas we're focusing on the head of the beast.
Yeah. Jay, I thank you for a great call, and I'll just offer this in response.
Sure.
That sometimes the best way to get people to pay attention to the underlying problems is to highlight the weaknesses of a leader. And in a lot of cases, that's what's going on. When we take on Bush, it is in some ways a proxy approach of trying to get people to pay attention to the conservative philosophy and the underpinnings that lead some people to argue that New Orleans was not an accident or a mistake. It is the direct result of conservative policies that say we just don't want to provide the kind of safety net that FEMA was intended to. Thanks a lot, Jay.
All right, thank you.
We'll continue in just a moment with Dr. Stephen J. Ducat. You can join us. Lines are available, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, and this is the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson, taking a look at your traffic report. 156 at the 25. It's an accident on the right shoulder. Big rig and a pickup truck involved. Over to Santa Cruz County, southbound Highway 1 at Ocean Street. Two-car crash. That would be clearing on the right shoulder. Southbound 17 getting to Santa Cruz. Going to be slow from Lark to Highway 9 in Los Gatos. Then again from Bear Creek Road over to the summit of Santa Cruz Valley. Echo Valley Road at San Miguel Canyon. Grass fire burning near the roadway. Crews are conducting traffic controls in the area, so you could see some delays. You could win a free Shell gas card worth up to $25 or $50. Hurry so you can fill up those tanks for that long summer road trip. Call 888-898-6402. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 or older to enter. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news.
We continue now with Dr. Stephen J. Ducat. His book came out in 2004 in hardcover and 2005 in paperback. It's called The Wimp Factor, Gender Gaps, Holy Wars, and the Politics of Anxious Masculinity. I'll bet people can find this book online still.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Amazon is still selling it.
Uh-huh.
It's still selling pretty well.
All right. Great. Let's go to John in Carmel Valley. John, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
I'm curious what your guest thinks about Israel and how it's behaving in Lebanon.
Well, let's just ask him. Stephen.
Well, it's a pretty complicated story, and I think that there are a number of questions here. One is, of course, the behavior of Israel, and then there's the behavior of the United States in relation to Israel, which aren't necessarily the same things. The New York Times had a very interesting conjunction of photo and headline, perhaps intentional, perhaps not. It showed a group of devastated and injured Lebanese civilians, and then next to that photograph, the headline was Bush administration anxiously ships more bombs to Israel.
Yeah. There's a bit of a mixed message there, isn't there?
Yes.
We want Israel to show restraint, and that's why we're resupplying them by FedEx overnight delivery,
right.
Bunker busters, and laser-guided weapons.
Yeah.
Because they haven't really done enough in Lebanon, and John, does that answer your question?
I want to add that there's some evidence that the Israelis are using white phosphorus.
Yes, there is.
And
it's very troubling.
They also blew up, you probably know this, they hit a UN inspector's position and killed all four people in it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then when those who responded to try to dig out the bodies, the shelling continued. I heard the Israeli ambassador today to this country on Warren Olney's NPR program, and he said, well, Lebanon must be punished, insinuating that she's like a five-year-old that needs to be taken to the woodshed.
Yeah.
And I think that whole country, Israel, is in giant denial right now. It isn't just individuals. It isn't just the people here who are snoozing away from reality. It's worst case is Israel. It's inexplicable. I mean, all the explanations seem to, not that they don't come up with something, it's just that we, who wants to face things about us as human beings. And I think that may be the critical problem of critical problems. Are we really facing up to what barbarians we may still be? Not may, we are.
Yeah, and where are they
going to do about that?
And where are they getting that white phosphorus, perhaps from American military sources left over from Fallujah?
Oh, they'd almost have to unless they've been manufacturing it themselves, and we probably gave them the formula anyway.
Well, John, thanks for your call.
Okay.
I want to move on to a couple of other topics here. Stephen Dukat, George Lakoff has articulated a whole interesting set of ideas, analyzing the framing, the rhetoric, and the kind of hidden messages of the Bush administration. And he builds it all around the concept of a strong father. And I'm just curious how his work dovetails with your analysis of what you call the wimp factor. And during the break, you mentioned that you were interested in Lakoff's work before he became such a rock star.
Yeah, I think Lakoff has a lot to offer, primarily in terms of appreciating the meaning of the what he calls the frames, which are the way ideas are presented. So, for example, it makes an enormous difference if we think about what's going on in Iraq as an occupation as opposed to a war.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a war you can cut and run from. An occupation, you'd better leave. I mean, an occupation has only one possible desirable outcome, and that's getting out of there.
Yeah.
And so I think if we, progressives, refused the frame of war and insisted on the frame of occupation, I think that in and of itself would cause a very profound shift in our conversations and mm-hmm. debates about that.
Yeah. What about the way he misconstrues the war on terror? Iraq is the central front of the war on terror. I mean, first of all, you can't fight a technique. That's a phony notion rhetorically to start with. But to claim that our terrorism problem is focused in Iraq, well, maybe now that's true. But it wasn't true at the time we invaded. Yet the argument held great suasion with many Americans, particularly viewers of the Fox News Channel.
Right. And I think that, we can't really address this issue without addressing the failure of mainstream Democrats to function as an opposition party, something we were talking about on the break.
Yeah.
I mean, part of what an opposition party has to do is refuse the language provided by the Republicans. If they don't refuse it, they simply accept it. If you use a word like war on terror, mm-hmm. you're accepting the frame.
Yeah. Well, and you hear Democrats who don't support John Murtha describe his position either as cut and run or precipitous withdrawal. That's not accurate. And to hear Republicans saying that is politics. To hear Democrats saying it is stupidity.
Yeah. Democrats, to be an opposition party, have to redefine the issues in their terms, in their language, and perhaps most importantly, in their metaphors.
Yeah. Now, Matt Renner, our producer, put a note up on the board here. PTSD, whole region. I think that's an interesting notion. Do we have a region of the world that has been through so much trauma that everybody is in some state of shock, some form of post-traumatic stress syndrome?
No question about it. I mean, we are traumatizing, vast areas of the world. And part of that trauma is the trauma of humiliation, which is one of the central factors in producing a terrorist.
Yeah.
Somebody who is willing to kill innocent people. There's Jessica Stern, who's done a lot of research on the psychology of a wide range of terrorists, right-wing terrorists, fundamentalist terrorists. And one of the linking factors that she found was a cultural history of humiliation.
Mm-hmm. And we saw that in spades at Abu Ghraib.
Right.
That's what we've been trading on.
That's where
our masculinity is attempting to trump theirs and turn them into feminized characters.
Yeah.
Well, Stephen, it's great to see you again. Thank you for joining us. The book is The Wimp Factor, Gender Gaps, Holy Wars, and Politics of Anxious Masculinity. We've been talking with Stephen J. Dukat. I want to thank you for joining us today. I'm Peter B. Collins. Trigger's here. Going to saddle up and ride off into that steamy sunset. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same stations, for the Peter B. Collins Show.
Happy trails. Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage, too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by More Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. UN observers are dead in an Israeli airstrike. Two, possibly four, were killed in an outpost along the border.
There was a coordinated artillery and aerial attack on a long-established and clearly marked UN post in southern Lebanon, in Qiyam. And it appears that it was a deliberate targeting by the Israeli Defense Forces.
UN spokesman Brendan Varma, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan wants an investigation. The UN was apparently reassured by the Israeli Prime Minister that the outpost would not be targeted. Here's CBS News correspondent Dan Revive.
Israel's army says it's looking into exactly what happened. Sources told Israel Radio there may have been a mistake. Warplanes may have hit the UN position because the radio report said the UN was near Hezbollah fighters.
The U.S. is trying to make contact with America. Americans trapped in southern Lebanon. CBS News correspondent Lee Cowan is in the town of Tyre, where he met some frantic Americans trying to get out.
Zeinab Shaheen is from Dearborn, Michigan. She was here visiting her grandmother.
We have nothing. All our family is still over there. We have nothing over there. They burned our cars. They burned our houses.
Those she passed on the road will haunt her forever.
On the way, they're begging us. They're begging us to come in the car. There's no room in the car. If we could bring them, we'd bring them, but we can't bring them.
The South has become a deserted wasteland. The few who have lingered line up for bread only to head right back indoors. The view these days is less than comforting.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice arrived in Rome today for tomorrow's meeting on the Mideast crisis. The president met at the White House today with the Iraqi prime minister to talk about the escalating violence in Baghdad and how they'll tackle that problem.
The new strategy centers on redeploying troops to Baghdad.
These will come from other areas of the country. Our military commanders tell me that this deployment will better reflect the current conditions on the ground in Iraq.
President Bush describes the violence in Baghdad as terrible. The Iraqis hope the new effort will control religious violence raging in parts of the capital. President Bush's military advisors say the new deployment will respond to current challenges on the ground in Iraq. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
Power outages, deaths, and wildfires all blamed on the weather. Doug Sovereign of KCBS has the latest on the California heat wave.
The death toll is soaring along with the temperature as California bakes under 100 degree heat.
This is clearly an historic weather pattern not seen in 57 years.
State Energy Undersecretary